listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Less than a day to go for the launch of the space shuttle, if the weather will allow it. CBS's Peter King says some experts still worry.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says the media has overblown the controversy surrounding objections to the launch.
What you're seeing is a good process. Maybe you haven't seen it before.
NASA safety officer and lead engineer both lobbied for further redesign of the shuttle's fuel tank to eliminate yet more of the potentially dangerous foam.
We get all those opinions on the table. We get all the background that we have on the table. And then the senior managers have to make a decision. That's what we do.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
AAA says most people who travel this long holiday weekend are going by car. The variable, of course, is distance. In Los Angeles, KNX's Vita Sofronicus.
Most Californians aren't traveling very far this year, mostly by car, as far away as Las Vegas and areas up and down the state. This woman blames gas prices.
The gas is so high that I think a lot of people are staying closer to home.
We tend to overlook the fact that not everyone can get out of town.
I'm working all the holidays this year, so I will be staying at work.
Vita Sofronicus, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A potential case of mad cow disease has been found in Canada. Manitoba, a mature crossbred beef cow, which was headed for the human food chain, but did not make it. The Army is investigating charges of rape and murder by U.S. soldiers. CBS's Lee Cowan.
The commanding general here in Iraq says that the Army's criminal investigation command has actually opened up an investigation into an incident in which soldiers allegedly killed an entire family, a family of four Iraqi civilians, in their home in an area just south of Baghdad.
UPS has a deal with its pilots on a new contract. It ends a three-year stalemate, and it'll keep the cockpits full. Terms not disclosed. President Bush took the Japanese Prime Minister to Elvis Presley's mansion, Graceland, in Memphis today because he wanted to see it.
I'm Peter Mayer in Memphis.
Unusual.
That's how President Bush sums up this rock and roll summit. The folks at Graceland will long remember the surreal scene. The Prime Minister of Japan, an Elvis fanatic, serenading the President, the First Lady, and Priscilla and Lisa Marie Presley.
Wise men say.
At the end of the day, Koizumi calls his visit to the Presley mansion a dream come true. Peter Mayer, CBS News. At Graceland in Memphis.
It's been expected, of course. President Bush has declared a major disaster exists in some of the flood-ravaged areas of Pennsylvania. There may be others to come. The kind of sacrilege that's making folks angry in Portsmouth, Ohio. Thieves have been vandalizing the graves of military heroes, stealing the $700 copper and bronze plaques to sell for the puny price of recycled metals, about $2 or $3 a pound. 20 plaques stolen in 2 weeks, according to detectives who say addicts do it to buy more drugs. Wall Street, the Dow lost 40.5 points today. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I do not want my kids to smoke.
Last night, Sarah went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
I knew I needed a few tips on what to say and how to say it if my message was going to sink in.
If you're a parent who'd like help starting the conversation with your kids about not smoking and handling peer pressure, expert advice and information is available online. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Boeing recruited the Air Force's top procurement officer while she worked for the Air Force. That has proved to be an expensive no-no.
Boeing will pay the federal government $615 million to settle civil and criminal charges involving improper use of competitors' information on Air Force and NASA contracts for launch services. In return, the government has agreed not to file criminal charges regarding the company's hiring of a former top Air Force procurement official, Darlene Druyan. Drian has admitted that Boeing influenced her actions while she was still working at the Pentagon.
CBS's Beverly Lumpkin in Washington. Andrew Padilla says he first thought it was a squirrel in his backyard, then realized it was a teeny tiny little monkey, a marmoset from the jungles of South and Central America. He fed it crackers and bananas, and it stayed around long enough for San Mateo, California Animal Control to catch him. Harley Carnes, are you paying?
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
3:06, 6 minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday holiday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I think what ought to really run through the conversation today is what everybody's planning to do. Traffic was really heavy earlier, and we will keep you posted on traffic because I presume that a lot of you are getting away. I just want to remind you that you can always email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. All calls to Enid Live are always toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. And I want to thank our two interns. Today's intern is Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. And I also want to thank Rachel, our other intern, Rachel Douglas and Lauren Haley. Thank you both for helping. But see, Lauren is busy in the control room, and she's not, and she doesn't realize that she's just being thanked. Oh, there she is. Okay. She's smiling. She survived. They both survived. This is good. We're happy to have them both. Rachel's at UC Davis, and Lauren is going to start her senior year in high school. So we're happy to have both of them, and happy to have all of you aboard. And today we are going to be joined, if all goes well, by Morris Berman, who has written a really interesting, at least if we go by the reviews, book called The Dark Ages, America, The Final Phase of Empire, in which he thinks where we are now, and I suppose nobody wants to hear this as we're about to head out on a holiday weekend, that we are about the same place that the Roman Empire, when it was in the stages of collapse, was in. And he draws lots of parallels that it seemed to be unnervingly on the money. So I thought, let's talk to him and see what he has to say. But we have lots of guests lined up. And I do want to remind you that if we have anything to say to each other, today is the day to do it. And I'm just going to, it's going to be a pretty free-ranging conversation today because I'm going to be taking off Monday and Tuesday. So the 4th of July for certain and the 3rd as well. And I will be back with you on Wednesday. And when I come back with you on Wednesday, we're going to be joined by a Harvard professor, Dan Gilbert, who's written a book called Stumbling on Happiness. He's talking about happiness. And we had an extended conversation about happiness yesterday. I have lots of thoughts about it. I think it's a byproduct, not the end result. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. I think Eleanor Roosevelt thought that if you did something good for somebody else, that the happiness would be the byproduct. And that if you go directly for happiness, you tend not to get it. You tend not to find it. It tends to be too elusive. But if you're, but in the course of doing the right thing in life, and in the course of doing the things that appeal to you, or that are satisfying, or that are helpful to others, happiness sometimes just appears like a state of grace. It just appears unbidden. I don't think you can will it. But if you're doing the right things in your life, and things that are true to yourself, and honest things, I think happiness is more likely to come through the door. But in any event, he has some interesting ideas, and he is purported to be witty and engaging, so that's good. On Thursday, I am eager to talk to these two. These two write fabulous books, Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child, and one of them writes regularly for the New York Times. And their books are always well-researched, and they are thrillers. And so in the course of reading these thrillers, they keep you up because they are so good and so thrilling that you can't go to sleep once you start. You learn about all this other stuff as well. And next Friday, a week from today, Elaine Petrocelli, who owns, with her husband Bill, one of the best independent bookstores in the country, Book Passage, in Corte Madera in Marin County, is going to join us, and we'll be talking about summer reading, great summer reads. So that's just a little bit of what's coming up. We have lots more. The Stearns, if you like Jane and Michael Stern, road food. They have done books and books on road food. And they're a little bit pudgy to show for it, but the newest book is Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. So this is just a flavor of what's coming up. I want to remind you that the morning that one of the reasons you want to keep it on 1320 is that you can listen to all of Air America programming, and starting with the Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, and that starts at 5:30, goes to 9 o'clock, and then of course following is Al Franken and Randy Rhodes and me and Mike Malloy and just a whole roster of really wonderful Air America people. Monday, if you're listening to the Morning Retort about 8 o'clock, Cindy Sheehan will be joining Scott, and Andy Sims has a day off, and in his stead, filling in is Vice Mayor of Sacramento, Rob Fong. So Cindy Sheehan is scheduled to join the Morning Retort at 8 o'clock Monday morning. And if all goes well, if everything goes well, it's not entirely confirmed, but it looks like we might have Bill Maher on Enid Live Monday, July the 10th in the 3 o'clock hour. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that that happens. I want to bring you up to date on a bunch of stuff that we've been talking about, and I think I love Fabulous Fridays because they're a great potpourri that where we can talk about lots and lots of things. But let me begin with something that we talked about yesterday, and here it is. We're talking about Richard Pombo, and he's wanted to get offshore drilling going. Well, guess what? The Congress has taken a major step toward allowing oil and gas drilling in coastal waters that have been off limits for a quarter century. But it's not over till it's over, and a battle will probably be looming in the Senate over this issue. The Bush administration's support for the legislation, which was approved, is lukewarm, interestingly enough. The House bill would end an outer continental shelf drilling moratorium that Congress has renewed every year since 1981. It covers 85% of the country's coastal waters everywhere except the central and western Gulf of Mexico and some areas of Alaska. So the House has lifted the offshore drilling ban. It's going to be a big fight in the Senate. And for some reason, the Bush administration is kind of lukewarm on this issue. And for this, we have Richard Pombo to thank. Reason enough to throw this man out, besides the fact that the stink of the Abramoff corruption scandal is with him at all times. One of the things that we've been talking about quite a lot is this concerted effort to go after the press in the wake of the New York Times exposing our financial tracking domestically and more to the point internationally, all these financial transactions. And now we know that that there has been a secret tracking of all of this stuff. And it was published in the Wall Street Journal, it was published in the Los Angeles Times, but the lead newspaper on all of this was the New York Times. And, of course, now everybody's trying to pile on to the New York Times. In today's New York Times, Richard Clark, who was a National Security Council counterterrorism big official under Bill Clinton and under George W. Bush, and is now a security consultant himself. But Richard Clark says, you know what, this is a secret that the terrorists already knew. The press reports on banking did not harm national security. If you're a terrorist, you already know that they're going to be looking at the movement of money. And certainly it has been no secret that we were going after a lot of the Islamic charities and watching how they move the money. So this is not a big surprise. But as what's his name said? I'll think of it in just a second. John Carroll in San Francisco Chronicle yesterday. He was saying that for a lot of people, the New York Times is a code word for Jewish. So it's, I don't know. A lot of people who are anti the New York Times have probably never read it in their lives. This is the right wing. You have the right wing to thank for this. These are people who are so snaky and so filled with snake oil that many of them are suffering from reptile dysfunction. That's right. 349-1320 or toll free 866-620-61320. And because there was the ruling yesterday on Guantanamo, everything that Bush has got going is now in question. For 5 years, Dickey has waged war the way he wanted to. If intelligence officers needed to eavesdrop on overseas phone calls without warrants, he authorized it. If the military wanted to hold terrorist suspects without trial, he let it. Now the Supreme Court has struck at the core of his presidency and dismissed the notion that the president alone can determine how to defend the country. In rejecting Bush's military tribunals for terror suspects, the High Court, packed with conservatives, I might add, ruled that even a wartime commander-in-chief must govern within constitutional confines significantly tighter than this president has believed appropriate. So in other words, here's what he did, and here's how dishonest the administration is. What they did is they would sign on to laws and then exempt themselves from having to follow those laws. Rather than to risk a veto and the overriding of a veto, what the president has done is just sign on to laws he didn't agree with, and then he said, but, you know, I don't agree with these laws. I'm interpreting things my way, and, hey, it doesn't apply to me. And here's what the Supreme Court has said. You know, you're wrong. And so if this particular issue is in question, then it begins to question all the other interpretations of law that the Bush administration has made, all in service of what is being called the imperial presidency, where he has all the power and none of the branches have any power at all. And this is what happens when you want to install a Republican everything. When the Republicans control everything, this is what you have. You have a hijacked, you don't have a democracy is what you don't have. And what you have is this pathetic, well, I don't know what to, you, maybe you can have a better description than I do right now, but this pathetic posturing of pretending to govern. And really what you have here is a lot of autocracy going on. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I was struck by something. I was reading, I'm not usually a reader of the sports pages, but I'm struck by a couple of things. I'm struck by a big doping scandal that has emerged over these top class cyclists. So, you know, here it is. One more example. And there were some hints that Lance Armstrong, too, was doping, and somebody said they overheard him admitting this when he was in the hospital to one of his doctors, that he had a certain drug in his system. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I do know that people, it has become okay to cheat in the service of winning, because winning is everything. It used to be that certain things you would be embarrassed to admit that you did. One of the things that it used to be embarrassing to admit that you did was to admit that you were greedy. But remember, Ivan Boesky and other people said greed is good. So people got to be greedier, more selfish. They took fewer pains to hide it. And so greed, instead of being a negative, it became more of a neutral. I won't say it's a plus, but in business, they might not call it greed, but that ethic will sometimes prevail. Sometimes it's dressed up as, oh, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to do what's good for the company. But all it is often is just greed. Well, here's something that's going on. And then you have the doping scandals with these top class cyclists. Whatever it takes to win, because the money is so huge. Look, I mean, look what's happened with Barry Bonds. Look what's happened in just about every endeavor. Whatever it takes to win, they're willing to do. They're willing to whatever pay the price in their own bodies and their own bodily health in order to win. So you might want to comment on that. And I want to add to the conversation, too, because Ozzie Guillen is what a guy. And if you live anywhere near Chicago, you're always hearing about Ozzie Guillen. And if you're a baseball fan, you're hearing about Ozzie Guillen. And I want to share with you what he has been up to lately, because he's got a smart mouth, a big mouth. And now he's in the soup. But he doesn't ever stay in the soup for long. And I'll tell you why he's in the soup and whether you think he ought to remain in the soup. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Galperin.
Thanks, Enid. Westbound 80 at Taylor Road, we have an accident, non-injury, not blocking a lane, but you'll see a little backup. Currently, it's 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You win with the Bill.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, the sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sniff on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete visual is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. If you're heading out this weekend, be careful on the roads. I was hearing that the cops are going to be very vigilant, and even if you're going like a mile over the limit or something, they're going to jump out of the bushes and sight you. So be really, really careful, and don't drink and drive. Don't do all those bad things. Don't talk on your cell phone and drive unless you're calling me. All right, here it is, Ozzie Guillen, who is a White Sox manager, Chicago White Sox manager. And he's forever getting into the soup, and he is really mad at a particular particular reporter that he has had an ongoing feud with. And he said about this particular reporter, and I have to edit my words carefully, but you can figure out what he really said, because it'll cost me $325,000 per word if I say these words. So he referred to a Chicago reporter that he's angry with as, quote, what a piece of... And then fill in the blank, he is that, fill in the blank, I think it's probably effing fag. He called him a fag. Well, I don't know if the reporter's gay or he isn't gay, but Ozzie Guillen, who is a Latino, is, sort of in the soup, but he's not, but there's a double standard for Ozzie. Ozzie He's scoffing at the commissioner. He's scoffing at the commissioner's order to undergo sensitivity training. He referred to a black teammate as a quote a fat monkey. His apology, he says, was characteristically funny, provocative, infuriating, fascinating, and never ending. At first, he pointed out that he had gay friends. Some of my best friends are gay, he says. Some of my best friends are Jewish. You know that old line. That he attended the WNBA games and a Madonna concert, and that he planned to visit the gay games when they're going to be held in Chicago. He followed that up by apologizing to the gay community, but not to this particular reporter that he slurred, and by scoffing at the commissioner's order to undergo sensitivity training. And somewhere in between, Azzy Guillen showed off a text message from one of his gay friends who identified himself with the same three-letter word infamously applied to that particular reporter that Azzy Guillen is having a feud with. The other reporters checked to see whether this friend of Azzy Guillen's is in fact gay, and the friend is in fact gay. There are a couple of... What do you want to say about this? I don't know if the reporter that Azzy Guillen is slurring is actually gay, or if he's just calling him a fag just to call him a name. I don't know. It caused a stir, but because Azzy Guillen is Latino, it doesn't cause the same kind of a stir as a big old fat white guy would cause if he said the same thing. And when Azzy Guillen talks about a black teammate and calls him a fat monkey, I guess Azzy Guillen is able to get away with it, but somebody else might not be able to get away with it. And maybe people cut Azzy Guillen slack because he's always saying the wrong thing and has become a kind of lovable caricature, or at least an infuriating and provocative and fascinating and funny caricature. But he's willing to really put it out there. And I'm guessing that probably he's able to do it because, A, people already sort of like him and expect him to be a bad boy. And, B, because he's a Latino, he can get away with it and his language skills are maybe not always as smooth as they could be. And, C, and maybe this is the most important part of the equation, maybe the reason he gets away with it is because we have become so PC that when somebody says something really colorful and they really go on a rant, it's like, oh, here's somebody who crossed the line. Oh, here's somebody who really, it's like in a sea of beige, you see a bright purple going on and you say, this is a red flag. Let's see what's cooking here. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. If you're gay, are you offended by what Azzy Guillen, his reference to this reporter that he's having a feud with as an effing fag? I don't know if the reporter's gay or if he's just using it as some way of registering his anger at that reporter. A slur, or is the language elastic enough for slurs? Because one of the things that we've been talking about that has really gone through has dominated our conversations in the last week or so is what can and cannot be said by the press. So the right-wing Republicans think that the New York Times should not have revealed certain information, and here are names being called. You know, what can we say publicly, what can we not say publicly is really probably the larger issue here. But here's Azzy Guillen. He's in the soup. He's probably a beneficiary of the old double standard. If you were a white guy, you wouldn't be able to get away with saying the kinds of things that Azzy Guillen says. And if you're the New York Times, you know, if you were a conservative publication, you know, here's the thing. The Wall Street Journal was not picked on by the administration. It's the New York Times that they're picking on. Wall Street Journal ran the same story revealing that the administration is tracking international financial transactions. And the L.A. Times also had, the lead paper on it was clearly the New York Times. It had more detail, and it made more of a bigger deal out of it. But the Wall Street Journal also had the story, and so did the L.A. Times. But the administration's not going after the Wall Street Journal, which has perhaps the most conservative editorial pages. It's going after the New York Times. That plays better to its right-wing, dopey base. So it depends on who's saying what as to whether or not they're going to be able to get away with it. So here's Ozzie Guillen. He's a kind of a charismatic bad boy. And I guess being a bad boy is the condiment that in a politically correct universe, it makes things kind of fun. And especially if it's in the sports arena. If Ozzie Guillen were a politician, forget it, he'd be toast. But in the sports arena where they're all bad boys, well, let me tell you how bad some of these boys are. I don't know if I can find this, but you've got here a, well, I don't know if I should tell you this on the air, but you've got here a sports figure, and he was, fill me in on this, because I'm not in this universe at all. Are you able to watch television and drive at the same time? Is that possible to do? Can you watch TV? And some of these fancy cars, is there some sort of a console where you can watch TV? Does anybody know? 349-1320. Because if there is, you've got this bad boy sports figure who was watching porn on television. And wait till I tell you what happened and why he got into an accident. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Eastbound 80, we have slow traffic downtown in Northgate and at Riverside. Currently, it's 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alperin on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
July 4th is one.
I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about war is the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
We'll be gone.
report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation, and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
.335 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel, and you can join the conversation at 349-1320. It's always toll free, or 866-620-61320. We're sort of having a free-flowing pre-holiday conversation. It's the last time you and I are going to be able to talk for a few days, so anything that you want to tie up, any loose end that you want to tie up, today's the day to do it. It's a fabulous Friday. All Fridays are, and I often like to do a free-for-all kind of a Friday. With some luck, we're going to be joined in the next hour by Morris Berman, who is a cultural historian, and he thinks it may be a little bit serious for a day like a holiday getaway day like today, but he believes that we're in sort of the same position right now as a country that the Roman Empire was in, and that there are a lot of similarities, and I imagine he will detail them. What we're talking about is political correctness, and we're talking about a guy like Ozzie Guillen, who is the manager of the White Sox, and there is sort of a double standard. He's a Latino. He's not your typical white guy, and so he's having a feud with this reporter in Chicago and calls him an effing fag. And they recommend a little sensitivity training for Ozzie Guillen, but he sort of scoffs at that and says some of his best friends are gay, and his gay best friends have, in fact, stepped up to the plate to verify Ozzie Guillen's account of the friendship. But that's nothing compared to these sports guys. I mean, they really are. Why do we pay attention to them? But this story I thought was pretty interesting. This is a guy named Eddie Griffin. And so he's as you, I'm sure, well know, he's a Minnesota Timberwolves center. And he was drunk when he crashed his luxury SUV into a parked Suburban outside a store in Minneapolis. And this is according to a lawsuit. But he wasn't just drunk. I was not aware, because your radio goddess here is pretty naive, but I was not aware that it was legal for you to be able to pimp out your vehicle and watch DVDs and who knows what else while you're driving. Is that legal? Anybody from the CHP, wasn't there a law that you're not even supposed to have both of your ears engaged in something? You need to be able to hear what's going on outside your vehicle, and if you've got two things inside of your ear listening to music blasting at high decibel levels, you're somehow violating the law. Do I remember that there's some law like that when you're driving? So how could it possibly be legal to watch TV and drive at the same time? Well, here, this Minnesota Timberwolves center, Eddie Griffin, was drunk and masturbating when he crashed his luxury SUV into a parked Suburban outside a store in Minneapolis. He had mounted a DVD player, that kind of mounting. He was watching porn on a DVD player mounted on the dashboard of his Cadillac Escalade SUV when he struck a Chevy Suburban that was parked on the street. So how they knew that he was masturbating, I'm not entirely sure. He wasn't paying attention. So between watching the porn and masturbating while he was driving, he hit a tree. You may wish to comment about that. I didn't know you got to be able to watch and drive at the same time. I guess it must be, well, I guess what he was doing, he was engaged in the ultimate in multitasking. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I really don't know what to make of it. But here's what I do know what to make of. In your car, I don't know how you're able to watch DVDs, and I'm not sure how that's legal anywhere. But what they are finding out is that if you talk on cell phones, even using hands-free devices, you are as impaired as a drunk driver. So it's about driver distraction. I mean, even if you don't, here's what they found out about a lot of accidents. Let's say that you momentarily take your eyes off the road and you are fumbling around to get the right radio station. You're really looking for AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel, and you're fumbling around and you drop something and you're fumbling around and you're fumbling around with the dials and the presets, etc. You can be so distracted that it's really dangerous for you if you're driving. So if you're heading out for this holiday weekend, do not take a page out of Eddie Griffin's book and be watching porn on DVDs and masturbating at the same time. This is really not a good policy because he crashed as a result of it. So make of this what you know. I don't know. It could be that he was suffering from that well-known right-wing disease, reptile dysfunction, and he was so focused on treating that particular illness that he lost complete control of his vehicle. So if you shouldn't drive and masturbate, you definitely should not be driving and talking on the cell phone, except if you're calling Enid Live. And I know some of you who are conservatives and on the right side of the issues as opposed to the left side of the issue, you get so exercised when you're listening to Enid Live that you could be at risk of doing something not so good to yourself on the road. So be really careful. And we like you to call, but gosh, not at the risk of your own health and jeopardizing any driver's health around you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jim in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, my name is Jim.
Yeah, welcome, Jim.
Hey, I was just in the car listening to your show, as I always do. And I happen to be a retired driving instructor.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
It is definitely illegal.
To
watch TV while you're driving.
So how do they get away with it without being cited? How do you mount a DVD player? I mean, maybe you can get away with it in the back seat for the driver is not able to have eyes in the back of his or her head. But how are you able to get away with it mounted on the dash of the vehicle?
Well, I guess I really can't answer that. It might be legal in some states, but it's not legal in California.
Am I right that you are not allowed to have music, you know, earphones?
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
You've got to have at least one ear clear.
One ear to the ground so you can hear if a siren is coming or something's going on?
Exactly.
Okay, Jim. Well, I think...
both eyes on the road.
Both eyes on the road.
Well, that's not really a legal thing, but...
Well, that's a hard. You have to pick your eyes up off the road, and then there's a problem there. Jim, I thank you very much for the call. Thanks for elucidating.
You're welcome.
All right, and I suppose there's probably a law about you're not supposed to masturbate and drive at the same time, I would imagine. But you may wish to address this. Okay, I'm addressing... Speaking about masturbating, I'm addressing John Kerry here. Remember Charles Grassley this week? It has decided he's a Republican senator, and he sits on a powerful finance committee. And he thinks that the IRS, and he's a serious guy. He thinks that the IRS needs to go after pimps. And I'm thinking, we got that many pimps around that the IRS needs to go after? And I thought, oh, of course, politicians, naturally. So we had a whole long list of political pimps, including starting with the president, the pimp in chief, or because he's sort of a pimp in training, I'm calling him a pimple in chief. Anyway, John Kerry may qualify for this designation. He was on O'Reilly's show yesterday. Did you see him? I have some of the transcript. And he is being asked about the leak to the New York Times. This is the story about the financial transactions, the international financial transactions and domestic component to it, that are being tracked, have been tracked secretly until the New York Times, the LA Times, and the Wall Street Journal revealed it. The administration is going after the New York Times because they can get a lot of traction with their base doing that. I doubt that they really mean it. They don't mean anything that they do. They just want to gut the system, put it in their pocket, and go home. It's kind of a willful malfeasance, but that's another story. So here's John Kerry, who's come on O'Reilly's show. Now, you have to ask yourself, why has he gone on the O'Reilly show? What is he doing there in the no-spin zone, also known as the no-truth zone? So here's O'Reilly saying to John Kerry. He says, the New York Times, we have some Republicans calling for action against them. Maybe the Attorney General will start an investigation into the leaks. What do you think? And here's what John Kerry answered. Absolutely, he said. Investigate the leaks. Leaking is against the law. I hate leakers. I hate leaks. And I think that leakers ought to be prosecuted. This is John Kerry talking. You know, you want to write a thank you note to these leakers so that the word can get out and so that these administration policies that are conducted in the dark cover of night in secret and deep secrecy can be viewed by everybody. But no, here's Kerry. He want to absolutely investigate the leak. So here's O'Reilly now. O'Reilly says, well, what about the paper printing the article after both Republicans and Democrats? John Murtha called the editor Bill Keller and said, please don't print this. It's going to jeopardize the anti-terror campaign. What about that? And here's what John Kerry, the man who has ever so much spine, says to Bill O'Reilly. Well, let me say this to you, Bill. This administration's record precedes it. It's very difficult to have the kind of credibility that they want to have on that kind of issue when you've broken the law with respect to the congressional intent on eavesdropping and when you have secrecy so embedded into the administration. A lot of people respond to that. And so there's a long track record here which leads people to make a different kind of judgment. So anyway, I hated when he said that about the leaks. What do you think about the leaks? Bill O'Reilly says to John Kerry, absolutely, investigate the leaks. Leaking is against the law. Well, if leaking is against the law, what about the people who leaked the identity of Valerie Plame? And that would include our vice president. We think it came from him. I don't think there's any doubts about it. Do you know who Calvin Trillin is? We're trying to get him on the program. He is wonderful. He's a wonderful writer. He's very funny. And he's written books on, food. But what he really does beautifully is doggerel. He rhymes things, and he rhymes them. They're usually political things that he rhymes. And this is one of his, and he was recently on Jon Stewart's show. And this is one of his poems about Dick Cheney, speaking from experience. When shells fall close and smoke is thick, real tough guys never run, they stick. Or so says five deferments, Dick. No wavering, no, he's a brick. To cut and run would make him sick. Or so says five deferments, Dick. Appeasers cannot take a lick, but tough guys bite and gouge and kick. Or so says five deferments, Dick. Well, you know what he's talking about. You're talking about Dick Cheney, a man who had five deferments, five of them, who had famously had other things to do. The guy who leaked Valerie Plame's identity. I don't think there's any question about that. But now the White House is trying to go after the leakers of the stuff that they did not want leaked. They only want to be able to leak, but they don't want you to be able to leak, and they don't want you to know anything at all. And one of the things that we talked about yesterday was the NRA going after trying to float legislation, and probably we'll have a good chance of doing it because we got a lot of pimps in Congress, and they are happy to do the work of the NRA, where if you find out information about rogue gun dealers, if you're a law enforcement official, and you find out information about rogue gun dealers, and they've traced most of the crime, they think about 60% of the crime, traces back to 1% of these rogue gun dealers who, for some reason, mysteriously came. Something that the NRA actually wants to do and has a really good I think we're having some kind of an EAS test. Does that happen? Do they just do that at random? I guess they do. Is that right?
Happens. Normally they're logged in the log. This
but
one just came.
It just came up. It's probably the administration. We'll see.
They're telling us enough is enough.
Yes, that's what they're saying. So here's the analogy I was making. And I don't know exactly at what point I was cut off. The NRA is trying to float and will probably be successful in doing this legislation that if you share information about these rogue gun dealers, and 60% of the crime is traced back to about 1% of these rogue dealers, if you are a law enforcement official and you share information on these rogue dealers, these illicit dealers, with other police jurisdictions, it could be a felony for you. All right, so set that aside. Now, here's what the Wall Street Journal is reporting. Big city police chiefs are furious with the Homeland Security secrecy. Local officials argue that government agencies are fighting a common enemy, but they won't share information with big city police. The police departments from several big cities have representatives working full-time with the Department of Homeland Security to glean sensitive information about terror threats. Some of these departments say that they are still denied access to timely, relevant information about threats and terrorist activity. And often, the information that they do get from federal agencies, if they get any at all, is confusing, late, and little better than what's on the TV news, they say. So here you have the NRA. It doesn't want anybody to share information, one police jurisdiction to share it with another about these rogue gun dealers, where you trace back the 60% of the crime and it traces back to this 1% of the dealers who are dealing illicitly, we think. And then you have these big city police chiefs. You think that they would be on the same page with Homeland Security, that everybody wants to do the right thing, which is to protect this country. But no, Homeland Security won't share any information with these big city police chiefs. We're living in a time of amazing and unprecedented secrecy. So here is the New York Times, the target of the administration's wrath. I don't know if they're really angry. I think they're fanning it to change the subject, to pander to the base, to do that kind of thing. I don't know how angry they really are, but they're so used to operating in deep secrecy and not being questioned and no light shining on what they're doing, that you have to wonder, what is really going on here? Why all the secrecy? If the lights were shined on, what would they not want us to know that's really quite obviously going on here? 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left on this getaway weekend with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Things seem to be picking up on the roads, and things are going to get a little bit bad as we keep going along. Westbound 50 is slow, 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, we have heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80, slow at Riverside. Currently, it's 89 degrees in the Capital City. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Are you struggling? send messages.
Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I...
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
3:55 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, where we were discussing everything from political pimps to masturbating athletes who are watching porn films as they drive and crash into other vehicles. We're talking about cheating in all of its forms. We're talking about the doping that goes on at high-level cyclists, the cheating that goes on the athletic playing field, the cheating that is going on in Washington, the stuff that's going on under the dead of night, the cheating that's going on. What do you want to say? Sanctioned cheating, the NRA wanting to make it legal that you can't find out about these rogue gun dealers. Isn't that a kind of cheating? You can't share information. If you're a police officer and you find out about these rogue gun dealers, you can't share it with another police jurisdiction, because if you do, it's a felony, and this is what the NRA wants to propose. And here you have these big city police chiefs who are working hand in glove, allegedly, with Homeland Security. And by the way, you know who's guarding Homeland Security? It's outsourced. It's a private outsourcing whack-and-hut. And you can't even get them to respond to you in Homeland, and their performance has been underwhelming. And those are the people who are guarding Homeland Security. I mean, isn't this just preposterous? Isn't this like the Keystone Cops? Isn't this like a fake-orama of people saying one thing, posturing in one direction, but the truth is something else entirely? And since 41% of graduate students can't compare two editorials with each other, or read the directions on a prescription medicine bottle, if you can believe that. It's according to the we're living in a society where it's really easy to manipulate us. And I think in the next hour we're going to be talking about this, because Morris Berman is a cultural historian. He's written a book called Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. Probably
listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Another U.S. military scandal in Iraq.
The alleged rape and murders by soldiers in Bravo Company occurred on March 12th.
NASA will try to get Discovery off the ground tomorrow.
We'll have a 60% chance of KSC weather prohibiting launch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The case came to light earlier this month after two soldiers were kidnapped by Iraqi insurgents and viciously murdered. Members of their unit were offered post-traumatic stress counseling, and CBS News correspondent David Martin reports one soldier mentioned during counseling that he'd heard about an atrocity committed by troops against an Iraqi family.
The allegation is that on March 12th of this year, a small number of soldiers, somewhere between 2 and 4, raped an Iraqi woman and then murdered the woman and the members of her family, three other members of her family, including a child, then burned the bodies in an attempt to destroy all the evidence.
The Army is conducting a full-scale criminal investigation. The soldier suspected of committing the murders was discharged before the investigation started. He's back in the United States, and law enforcement is looking for him. Now this.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitments and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The weather doesn't look good. Maybe a 40% chance to launch Space Shuttle Discovery tomorrow afternoon, but the safety concerns of some engineers will not keep it on the ground. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says the media has overblown the controversy surrounding objections to the launch.
What you're seeing is a good process. Maybe you haven't seen it before.
NASA safety officer and lead engineer both lobbied for further redesign of the shuttle's fuel tank to eliminate yet more of the potentially dangerous foam.
We get all those opinions on the table. We get all the background that we have on the table. And then the senior managers have to make a decision. That's what we do.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Ready or not, here comes 2004 XP-14. It's an asteroid, and at least in astronomical terms, it will have a close encounter with Earth this weekend.
It will be approaching the Earth to within 1.1 lunar distances, which is about 270,000 miles. It's about the closest approach we've had by an object this large since 1925.
John Giorgini at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory says the asteroid is about a quarter mile in diameter. Best viewing, if the weather cooperates, will be late Sunday and early Monday, and you don't have to duck.
We can say confidently that there won't be any chance of impact for at least the next 424 years and probably a lot longer than that.
U.S. experts have analyzed this tape and believe it is the voice of Osama bin Laden. The tape was released late yesterday. The al-Qaeda leader narrates a video tribute to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, calling the late leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq the Lion of Jihad. An Islamic extremist website says another message from bin Laden is coming, this one about Iraq and Somalia. After tests on 40 people in a driving simulator, a researcher says the law should treat talking and driving the same as drinking and driving. It should be banned. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano has the story.
Few will argue driving under the influence of alcohol is dangerous. How about under the influence of a cell phone? Assistant professor of psychology Frank Drews at the University of Utah reports his latest research into cell phones and driving had some uncomfortable results.
They have delayed response times to the onset of braking lights, for example. They have a slowed recovery time. Once they have slowed down, it takes them longer, actually, to get back to their initial speed.
Drews said it made no difference whether the cell phone was hands-free or not. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
They took their case all the way to the Supreme Court and lost. Now the last two holdouts in New London, Connecticut, have agreed to give up their homes to make way for commercial development. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey!
This is John White, CEO of Scott and Sim.
Maybe this isn't what we should be working on right now, and I think maybe we do need a change. Anything has got to be better than this. Whoever's going to be an adult, whichever party is going to be responsible with important issues, things that actually matter, well, I'm going to have to vote for them, even if it's a one-time deal.
So did you answer the question I asked you?
I forgot the question. I know. I should go to Congress.
Where?
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
4:05, 5 minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And let me just remind you that we stream live at 1320leftchannel.com. You can always call. It's always toll-free for the 916 area code. The number is 349-1320 if you're outside it. It's 866-626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. If all goes well, we'll be joined by Bill Maher when I get the 10th, I think. If all goes well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed. We have many interesting guests coming up, but we have a really interesting guest right now, somebody I've been looking forward to talking to ever since I saw the review of the book in the New York Times, and it was the review by the lead reviewer, I think she is anyway, Machiko Kakutani. Some people call her Machiko Kakutani, and you can see why when you read this review. The book is called Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire, and my guest is Dr. Morris Berman. He's a cultural historian. Maury, thank you so much for joining us today.
And it is a pleasure.
When I saw the review of this book, I thought, we have got to have you on. She was snotty to you, but the points that she quoted you as making in this book sounded like the kinds of things we're all observing, and nobody is saying it. One of the things that really struck me is that in the book, and I'm going to quote from the review, she says, Dark Ages America begins as a grim prophecy of decline and fall, citing four traits shared that you say are shared with the late Roman Empire and the USA today. So the things that the late Roman Empire and we have in common. Number one, the triumph of religion over reason. Number two, the breakdown of education and critical thinking. Number three, the legalization of torture. And number four, declining respect and financial power on the world stage. And she's really, and a couple of other things. There was another statement she said here, that in excoriating American culture, Machiko Kakutani writes in the New York Times, Mr. Berman also makes the broadest sorts of generalizations based on the most anecdotal of evidence, but sometimes great truth resides in the anecdotal observation. And that she cites you as saying that you have asserted that the lack of the most basic knowledge is so extreme in the U.S. that one has to wonder if we are talking about ignorance or just outright stupidity. And the reason that sentence caught me is that there was a study that I came upon not long ago that said that 40% of graduate students could not read comprehend the directions on a medicine bottle and could not compare one editorial with another.
Yeah, the actual figures or the ones that I've gotten in it are that only 31% of college graduates are proficient in reading prose, and only 41% of graduate students.
Wow.
And you wonder what those people were doing in school. What were they doing?
Well, how did they graduate?
Well, they just get passed on. I mean, that's the whole problem. And basically nobody wants to deal with it. The statistics that and there's one comment before I give you the stats. There's one thing I want to say about Michiko's review, and that is when she says I rely on anecdotal evidence, boy, that's a bald-faced lie. This is a book that is loaded with stats and data, and this is a review that was a fabrication and totally dishonest. And she's got her motives for doing that, but I just need to say that right out. This was not a series of anecdotal observations by any stretch of the imagination. Some of the stats, for example, that I discovered in the course of doing the research, if we take the 18 to 24-year age group, this is our future, young adults, 87% of them can't find Iraq or Iran on a world map.
Mm-hmm.
49% can't locate New York State on a map of the United States. 29% can't find the Pacific Ocean. And catch this one. 11% can't find the United States.
11% of, give me the statistic again.
11% of the 18 to 24-year age group in the United States can look at a world map and can't find the United States on it.
That's almost
a strange kind of achievement.
I can't even respond to that. I don't even know what to say to that.
Right. I mean, exactly. You know, I remember years ago when I was writing the Twilight of American Culture, which was the previous book to this, and I was doing the research on that, and I just happened to be driving and listening to Prairie Home Companion, and Garrison Keillor was reciting some of these stats, which are not invented. They come out of polls from things like the National Science Foundation and the University of Connecticut and things like that. And he said, you know what it means that 11%, I think he said 15, but the latest data are 11. He said, you know what it means is 15% of American youth can't find the United States on a world map. He said, that's not like not being able to grab your rear end with both your hands.
My guest is Morris Berman. His book is called Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. Talk to me about that review, first of all. In some ways, I think it did you some good.
Well, the irony is that the immediate reaction was that sales shot up.
Oh, did they? Really?
Yeah, that was the immediate irony because, you know, if she really wanted to kill the book, the thing to do is not review it.
Right.
It's not been reviewed by the Boston Globe, the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Miami Herald, Washington Post. I mean, that's the way to kill it. There's just total silence. So she, in a strange way, she did me a favor, but she also did me a favor because the review is so venomous and the language so exaggerated that you read this thing and you say, oh, no, this can't be right. And one friend of mine said, listen, she did you a favor. She shot herself in the foot, you know.
Well, here's what I couldn't understand. And apparently you wrote her a letter? Did you write
no,
a letter?
No, I didn't write to her.
You wrote the Times?
I wrote a letter to the editor of the Times, you know, in the very day that came out, which was June 16th. I wrote a response saying she calls my book a rant, and she says that it provides no careful reasoned analysis, and the irony is that her review is a rant, and what the book is about for 400 pages is careful reasoned analysis. In short, that review was a smear.
Well, what's really curious and what
and they didn't print my letter.
They wouldn't print your letter.
Yeah.
And you did you get any response to your letter at all from any of the editors?
No, I mean what they do is, you know, they ask you when you submit something like that, they ask you to put your telephone number in the letter so that they can call you up and verify its authenticity.
Right.
In other words, they call you up and said, did you in fact write the, you know.
Right.
And I never got such a call. And so 2 weeks have gone by. It's clear now. I mean, I've posted on my blog. I'm going to be sending you a copy, Enid.
Okay.
I've sent it to basically lots and lots of people. Here's the letter that the Times wouldn't print. And the thing that's very interesting to me is, I mean, how deeply have we fallen where it's okay to write something that's a total fabrication, to smear an author, and then make sure that he can't even respond? This is the New York Times of the Zaltzberger age. I mean, this is all the news that's fit to print.
Or all the news that fits,
yeah.
As Mad Magazine used to say.
Right.
Talk to me about the conclusions that you have come to, because this is what I found so odd. When she listed the conclusions you had come to, I think a lot of us sat up and said, my God, we've been thinking the same thing.
Well,
then she castigated you for coming to those conclusions.
I know. That was the irony. She says, look at this. And she looks at it with scorn. And my agent said to me, you know, a lot of people are going to read it and say, yeah, that's right.
All right. So talk to me about the conclusions that you were coming to. Is it over for us?
Yes.
Is it really over for us?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, talk to me. You know, it's a holiday weekend. This is not what anybody wants to hear. They're going to be running.
July 4th might be a good day for us to sit and reflect on our demise.
Okay, let's do that. My guest is Morris Berman. He's a cultural historian. His new book is Dark Ages of America, The Final Phase of Empire. How do you know for sure it's over for us?
Well, the reason that you know it, first of all, Enid, is that there is no great civilization that didn't come to an end. I mean, the discussion of whether the United States will decline and disintegrate, that's not really on the table. It's not even an interesting discussion. The real discussion is when and because of what. That's the real discussion.
Not if, but when.
Yeah, I mean, every civilization has gone through a period of birth, efflorescence, and decay. How is it we're going to escape this? We're not. Any more than a person is going to live forever. You know, if you meet a person, he said, you know, I found the elixir of life and I'm going to live forever, we call that denial.
No, in California, they don't die unless they smoke or eat red meat. If someone dies here, they say, well, did he smoke? Did he eat red meat? Otherwise, you live forever.
That's right. I thought they got themselves frozen, but that's all right.
Well, sometimes that, too, and microwaved. All right, so...
So the interesting,
what are
interesting
the markers?
Question is, what are the factors?
Yeah, what are the
What's
markers?
The time frame? Those are the really interesting questions, not whether we're going... You know, when I do typically interviews on conservative radio stations, I tell you, I hang up with such depression because the denial is so enormous. I mean, I'm not even allowed to talk about these things. You know, they get so flustered and they won't even hear it.
Why don't they want to hear it?
Because basically the United States, this is a very interesting thing. You see, when the United States was born, there was no state religion. The Declaration of Independence mentions God four times, and the founding fathers were deists. They were not Christians, but they
right.
were deists,
right.
you know. And that left one theologian, famous theologian, called the empty public square. In a certain sense, there's been a space in the center of the United States, whereas, let's say, Spain or France were Catholic and so on. We never had that. We never had that. And what happened? Out in California, at Berkeley, in the late 60s, Robert Bella, sociologist, wrote an article, a very famous article, called Civil Religion. And what he argued was, given this fact about our founding, the truth is that to fill that vacuum, the naked public square, without realizing it, we made America into our religion. So if, for example, you go to Sweden and you criticize, you know, you're Swede and you criticize Sweden, people don't get up in arms and say you're un-Swedish or you're anti-Swedish. Same in England or Poland or whatever. But in the United States, if you voice criticism, you are immediately un-American.
Unpatriotic.
Yeah, and people that's a religious reaction. Because the truth is, we took the nation itself and its institutions as a religion. Well, that puts you in a terrible bind. For one thing, it means you can't criticize. You can never criticize. You know, that's un-American. And if a nation is not really willing to reflect on its problems, it really can't address them. And so I go on conservative shows, and, you know, my favorite instance of this was a couple of years ago, Charlie Rose had Noam Chomsky on. And I was quite shocked, because Noam, of course, is a very severe critic of U.S. foreign policy in particular. And so Charlie would ask him a question, and Noam has got his ducks in a row. I mean, he knows his facts. And Noam would say, well, actually, that's not true. Let me give you what the situation is. Within 15 seconds, Charlie was shouting him down.
Really?
The whole hour went by. I don't think Noam said 200 words in that hour. And I thought to myself, you know, I ought to write Charlie a letter and say, I'm glad you had Noam on the show. Next time, let him talk. But the interesting thing is, why did Charlie get so frightened? Because basically, if your religion is threatened, who are you? And what are you going to believe in? It's very scary. Well, other nations don't have that kind of fear.
My guest is Morris Berman. His new book, Dark You. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Westbound 50 is slow, 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, we have heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Cap City Freeway, slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80, slow at Riverside. Currently 89 degrees in the Capital City. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Time to fire up.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate, like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3. No haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severn versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Torres Kebab, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
422 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. My guest, Dr. Morris Berman, his new book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. He thinks it's over for us. Maury, why do you think it's over for us? What are the markers? What should we be looking at? And if we're putting a timetable on it, when's it going to be over for us?
Well, the factors that I talk about the medievalization of the United States are, first of all, the triumph of religion over reason. I mean, we've got a situation now where 59% of the American public believes in the apocalypse and the rapture, and that this, according to the Book of Revelation, and this is going to happen in our lifetime, and we've got a White House that's running a faith-based foreign policy.
Right.
You know, I mean, what more does there to say about that? The second are the stats that I was talking about earlier about the breakdown of education and critical thinking in the United States. I mean, I see it when I talk to these, you know, conservative radio stations. Their idea of dialogue is just to deny and to holler.
I'm surprised they have you on. Are you sort of the liberal pinata for them?
Yeah. I think basically the idea is just to say how ridiculous this person is. You know, I mean, it's sort of, you know, so what am I supposed
because
to
do? Because the Los Angeles Times is reporting that there are people that are so literally, they do believe the rapture is coming. They're so literally engrossed in the idea of end times that somewhere, I guess, it says that there has to be a red heifer, and somebody was able to actually, one red heifer actually exists that fulfills the definition they're trying to have more red heifers so that means that they'll be ready for it when it comes. I don't know what the significance is.
I haven't heard anything about red heifers or red peppers, to tell you the truth.
No, red heifers. This is the Los Angeles Times reporting. You could,
no, I believe you.
You can Google this.
Right, I believe it. So we've got, you know, the breakdown of it. And the stats are just incredible about that. I mean, the 40% of American adults can't say who our enemy was in World War II.
40% of American adults cannot say who our enemy was in World War II?
That's right.
Oh,
45 of them believe that space aliens have invaded the Earth, have visited the Earth. 21% believe that the First Amendment gives you the right to own pets. You know, I mean, you read this stuff and you say, man, I couldn't write a novel this good. You know, I mean, holy Moses, you know. And I, when I give talks about this and I read the stats and people are gasping and I say, these are your neighbors. These are your neighbors. Who do you think is walking down the supermarket aisle next to you?
Well, what's scary is that they're driving in the lane next to you and you're not sure they can do that either.
Right, and they also vote, incidentally.
Well, indeed they do, and apparently this administration has a great grasp that the people that they are pandering to have IQs. If they're hovering at room temperature, that might be an improvement to what the reality seems to be. So, give me some more of these statistics that you found.
The other thing that's very disturbing, that I think goes along with the whole faith-based thing, because fundamentalism and democracy are not very compatible. Anthony Lewis of the New York Times did an article where he put together data from a University of Connecticut study that was called State of the First Amendment Survey 3 years ago. 34% of those polled said the First Amendment goes too far. 46% said there was too much freedom of the press. 28% felt that newspapers should not be able to publish articles without the prior approval of the government. And 50% said the government should have the right to infringe on the freedom of certain religious groups. You know, I mean, I find that, you know, it sort of sounds like the former Soviet Union, you know. The government should be approving newspaper articles before they appear. And Americans think this is a good idea. It's a good idea.
I know. It's really distressing. And this is an administration that in a few short years, whatever goodwill we had, whatever surplus of anything that we had, they've squandered it completely.
Well,
they've taken us down very quickly, and
right.
I don't know if we're ever going to recover from it.
Yeah, that's another key factor. Structurally, the economy is in terrible trouble. I always have fights with this on the radio with people who say, oh, the stock market's doing okay and the real estate market. And I said, you know, those things turn on a dime historically. That's the record. They turn on a dime. But let me talk to you about the underlying structural factors. We've got a foreign trade deficit now in excess of $8 trillion, and it's growing daily. When you have people like Paul Volcker, who was the Fed in the late 70s, he was the Alan Greenspan of that era, saying, as he did a couple years ago, we are careening toward insolvency if the EU, Japan, and China are no longer willing to float these huge loans that afford us this wasteful consumer lifestyle, we're going to be in serious trouble. And if the OPEC countries shift as a medium of exchange from the dollar to the euro, we're facing a 1929-style depression and a devaluation of the dollar by about 25%. I mean, these are not flaming radicals that are talking like this. You've now got a national debt also in excess of $8 trillion. How do people think we're going to pull out of things like this? So one thing after another on a structural basis is very disturbing about what's happening in the United States and largely riding a bubble, I think.
If you were to put a timetable on that it's over for us, and when is it going to be, when is the nail, the first palpable nail going to be in the coffin, or when it's, if you were going to put a timetable about when it, we really, the collapse happens, can you put a time on it? What would you say, 20 years?
I would say major economic crash within a decade. I mean, that would be my prediction for that. But the overall thing of being marginalized on the world stage, which is already starting to happen, I would say probably about 30 years of our being really a second-rate power. You know, there always is a cultural lag with these sorts of things, you know, because, for example, the perception down to the early 1950s, even though England had feet of clay economically, the perception was that Britannia ruled the waves. Economic historians now look back to, let's say, the Boer War, 1899-1902, and understand that it was around that time that the game began to become unraveled, and certainly after World War I, and very definitely after World War II. And yet, the public impression was that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And the thing that really turned that around, the real awakening, came with Suez in 1956, because when England, along with, you know, Israel and France, invaded Suez, and Eisenhower didn't like it. He basically told the British that if they didn't back off, he'd ruin the British pound. And they backed off. And everybody saw it. Everybody knew who was number one at that point. And it wasn't England anymore. But the truth was that was already 50 years in the making. And there's a very interesting book by George Modelsky, a political scientist at the University of Washington, did a book a few years ago called Long Cycles in World Politics. And he said by the period 1971 to 1975, we had entered, I mean, this is my phrase, but it's the same thing. He said we had entered our twilight phase. I mean, that was already the beginning of the feet of clay, the beginning of the decline.
Well, then let me ask you, economically, if you think it's going to come crashing down in the next 10 years, what have you done? Have you gotten out of stocks? Have you gotten out of everything? Are you just sitting on a pile of cash?
Well, I don't really have any money, so it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, authors are poor unless they're in that, you know, that top sliver, like, you know, Stephen King and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't make any money off these books. You know, one point in it, I sat down and I added up roughly everything I had earned over the years from my writing.
Right.
And I divided that by the number of hours it had taken me to write those books. It was roughly 2.5 cents an hour. You know, so you know, this is not the field to go into if you're looking for a lucrative career. You know?
Well,
so
I mean,
it doesn't matter what I have. You know, it's we're not talking about huge blocks of capital and numbered Swiss accounts.
But I think what you're saying is, if this is all going to come crashing down in 10 years, whatever you have, try to be liquid.
Well, that would be one thing, but even that won't help you. I mean, even if you have $100,000 in American dollars,
it's going to go down by 25
under your mattress. Well, you're going to wake up one morning and it's going to be worth $75,000.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you do. You know, I mean, I suppose you could buy large blocks of yuan, you know, Chinese currency,
right,
or something like that, because that GDP is expanding at 9% a year.
Who's going to be the big power? Will it be India, China?
That's the interesting question, because as we decline, of course, there's a vacuum that emerges, power vacuum that emerges.
Or the EU? The EU could be the...
Yeah, that's the discussion. The discussion is, one possibility is the EU, another possibility is China. And I think for a while what we're going to see is not a unipolar world, which is what we've had since 1991. I think what we're going to see is a multipolar world. The United States is not going to, after all, it's not going to crash overnight. You know.
Well, here, one of the things that you said according to Michiko Kagutani, the distinction you're quoted as saying that the distinction between red and blue states doesn't really mean very much, because John Kerry's election would not have altered the nation's course. Explain that.
Well, John Kerry was the most militaristic Democratic candidate since James Polk. This was not the John Kerry of 1971 who came back and said, how can you ask somebody to be the last person to die for a mistake? Far from it. He walked into the Democratic nominating convention and saluted, and he said, reporting for duty. He showed up on the Jay Leno show riding a Harley. I mean, how pathetic was that? You know, I mean, the idea was to show what this, you know, what a hard-ass, macho sort of guy he was, and uh-huh. he was gonna, you know, kick a little Arab rear end and all. I mean, there was no different kind of, you know, he talked about shades of difference, but the truth is that the difference between the GOP and the Dems is the difference between empire and empire light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are not talking about substantially different visions of what life is about, of what a nation should be about. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about shades of doing things a little differently from within the country. We get very excited about it. We think there are, you know, we have these debates and we think there are these enormous differences. But, you know, one of the reasons I think that there isn't much of a difference is, at this point, there's not a whole lot that can be done.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there anything that we can do to save it? Or should we just be making payments on our caskets starting today?
Ah, good question. Well, first of all, you want to get a very good casket.
One that's made of yuan, I guess.
Right. European trees.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, I think what we're faced with is whether we decline gracefully and gradually, or whether we decline violently and stupidly. And right now, we're, I think, choosing the second path, which I find very unfortunate. We could choose a graceful decline.
Well, first of all, let me give the numbers out, because people may want to ask you questions, and we'll consider this as we continue, because you also said something here that's pretty provocative, and she says that your most dismissive words are reserved for President Bush, and frankly, I don't think that there are words dismissive enough to describe that man.
Besides that, it's not true. I mean, I don't see Bush's I see Bush as a symptom, not as a problem. You know, after all, Enid, there are things in the speeches of Bush. Of course, they're written by other people. He doesn't know large words, you know. But there are there are passages in his speeches that could have been uttered by Harry Truman word for word 60 years ago. You know, there's tremendous continuity in this very aggressive imperial foreign policy and what we were doing after World War II. So, I mean, there's only so much Bush bashing you can do. And after all, if you have large, very large fraction of the American public thinking that the guy is heroic and wise, you know, I mean, you can't just blame it on one person. You've got to say this is symptomatic of an entire culture.
My guest is Morris Berman. He has written a very provocative, very interesting book called Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. You might have questions for him. Let me open up the lines, and we're going to try and do this. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to try and do it, but operator error, and that would be my fault. Sometimes what happens is we disconnect the guest, and we'll have to call you back if that's the case, I'm going to try something new this time and hope that it works. Anyway, let me give you the numbers. The numbers are 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alfrin.
Thanks, Enid. Westbound 50 is slow, 65th to downtown. Traveling along northbound 5, we have heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Cap City Freeway slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80 slow at Riverside. Currently 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Okay.
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio.
and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, the sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sick on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete digital is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
To Enid now, 349-1320.
440 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. My guest is Dr. Morris Berman. He's a cultural historian. His new book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire, he thinks it's over for us. Since 2003, he's been a visiting professor in sociology at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. Maury, I'm looking at the Japanese Prime Minister and our own president. I call him Dickie, because then I can say there are two dicks running the White House, him and Dick
Cheney.
You
know, his father barfed on the Japanese.
That's right. Well, right now.
That was one of his last acts in office. Was he puked on the guy?
I thought he was out of office when he puked on him.
No. It was toward the twilight phase of his presidency, and he puked right on the Japanese prime minister.
Well, the son and then the successor,
Graceland. But George Jr. hasn't barfed on him, has he?
No. Well, not literally.
Not literally, you know.
And he may have barfed on him in some other political way, but right now they look like they're best friends,
yeah.
And they're touring Elvis.
They're doing
Strong
karaoke together, right?
Well, they're at Graceland. What does it tell us that the two of them are at Graceland together at the Shrine of Elvis, worshiping at the Shrine of Elvis?
I don't know about that.
I know that there's a metaphor in that. I'm going to have to think hard about it. Okay.
Maybe somebody in our listening audience can clarify that for us.
There are people who want to talk to you, and I hope that I'm able to do this without losing you in the process. But the number to call, if you have a question for Morris Berman, who believes it's really over for this country, the number is 349-1320 or toll-free 866-626-1320. Let's go to Ken in Orangevale. Ken, you're live with Enid and with Morris Berman on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Mr. Berman, my question for you would be that your argument for the collapse of the United States seems to be one part of a trifecta of issues. You have that, you have peak oil coming, if we're not already in it, and imminent environmental collapse. And we seem to be talking about this from the American perspective, but what are these three things going to look like on the world stage for any upcoming superpower in the future?
Morris, can you hear it?
I couldn't hear that.
Oh, my goodness. You could not hear that?
No, I couldn't hear it.
I can do it again if you want.
Can you hear him right now?
Can you hear me,
faint,
sir?
It's actually quite faint.
Very faint, huh?
Okay, yeah. Just ask him about peak oil and environmental collapse. And
all right, I'm going to, and when I say goodbye
maybe,
to you. Yeah,
maybe you could restate it, Enid.
All right, wait a minute. Peak oil, all right, Ken, give it to me again. Peak oil.
There's a trifecta of issues happening
right.
That's going to affect the world. It's the collapse of the United States, it's peak oil, and it's imminent environmental collapse. If we're talking about countries coming up into the future as superpowers, what kind of future are we entering with these three things happening simultaneously?
So a collapse of the U.S., peak oil, and environmental collapse.
Yeah,
all right.
I think this is a very intelligent caller, to tell you the truth.
Are you hearing this now? Are you hearing
it? I am. Thank you. I got some of it. It came through faintly. I mean, I've got my ear glued to this telephone.
All right, it's peak oil. He's saying there's a
peak oil, the environment, and the United States.
The collapse of the U.S. I'm going to say goodbye to you because
that's fine.
All right, thank you for the good question, and I hope I don't lose Morris in the process. All right, Morris, are you still there?
I'm still there. Next caller should yell at the top of his lungs.
Okay.
But this is a very intelligent caller, obviously, because...
we have only intelligent listeners to
Enid
Live.
Well, this is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful thing. And I have to say that, I couldn't write about everything in this book. And so I just did one of those three. But he's right about the trifecta. He's absolutely right about that. For example... We can excoriate the United States for polluting and all that sort of thing. Man, China's doing a fabulous job in that department,
right.
In terms of industrial waste and so on and so forth. They could care less about environmental protection and regulations. They're not interested at all. And so he's absolutely right that there's a kind of crunch ecologically, and the whole peak oil discussion of finally that it's not worth it anymore, and... the countries like Saudi Arabia, I think, have already peaked in terms of expensive oil. So I think he's absolutely right. There isn't a whole ecological dimension to this that involves oil use and production as well. And the United States contributes to this. But, I remember, I think I was giving a talk in Berkeley, I think it was, actually, and somebody said, well, won't those factors overtake anything that's happening to the United States?
And what's your answer to that?
And I said, you may be right. You may be right. It's very possible that, I think I picked up a significant leg of the tripod, but it may be correct that those other things hit the wall faster than we do.
So in other words, if those other things, those ecological, if Al Gore is right, if it's global warming, if peak oil happens, forget it. It's not only over for us, it's over for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, it creates a certain type of world crisis. The thing that makes us unique in this whole thing is that we are 6% of the world's population and soak up 25% of the world's energy. And what we have been doing that has led to, the conducting of meaningless and fruitless wars in the Middle East and so on is what we've been doing is commandeering oil resources and wanting geopolitical control, basically so we can continue living in a way that on a world scale is very extravagant and very wasteful. And in that sense, we sort of have spearheaded the ecological damage, So, in that sense, what happens to the United States is, I think, a kind of, canary in a coal mine or a very basic indicator. But those other factors may catch up, and then it's a question, that's right, it's a question of what the world's going to do with this type of thing. But one thing that your
Will they go after us because we hog so much of the resources and it's going to be tight for the whole year?
What do you think 9/11 was about? They're already after us.
Yeah, but I mean in a state support, state sanctioned way across the board.
Well, the other countries of the world are doing what they need to do in their own interests, and those interests aren't necessarily ours. But the fact that we have acted to control the Middle East has resulted in blowback, basically. I mean, Chalmers Johnson remarked on September 13th that September 11th was the collateral damage for U.S. foreign policy. He said, I know it's cruel to say, but this really is the case, and I think he's right.
We have a number of people who want to talk to you, and we don't have a whole lot of time, so we're going to do this very quickly, and maybe we should take the break right now. Let's do that, and then take your calls as we continue. 916-349-1320 or 866-620-61320. My guest, Dr. Morris Berman, the book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Westbound 50, we have slow traffic, 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80 is slow at Riverside, currently 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Albert on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
At Sleep Train, you'll save up to...
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
4:52 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. My guest is Dr. Morris Berman, cultural historian. His new book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire, Badge of Honor, the Michiko Kakutani New York Times Review begins this way. This is the sort of book that gives the left a bad name. Maury, you ought to send her a thank you note. All right, we've got a lot of people who want to talk to you, and we only have a few minutes left, so let's do this very quickly, and I hope I don't mess up here. And so let's go to Taylor in Sacramento. Taylor, hi, you're live with Enid and with Maury on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi. Just really quick, I just want to say there's three points that I'd like to make. One is that he mentioned, and a lot of times I hear it mentioned, that this is a religious group that's running the country. There's nothing religious about these monsters, these murderers, because if they were religious, they wouldn't be killing. So we can just take that out of the equation. They are not killers. I mean, they are not religious in any sense of way.
Maury, are you able to hear Taylor?
I couldn't hear a word of it.
Could not hear a word of it. Okay. So, all right. So tell me, you know what, Taylor, just tell me exactly what your question is, and I'll have to feed it to Maury. We're having some problems, clearly.
No problem. Just to reiterate, these people that are running the country are not religious. They are not Christians. They are monsters. Secondly, he said that that it's not Bush. He's just a part of it. that the people, that it's everybody because everybody's following him. Everybody is not following him. That's why we're screaming, because everybody is not following him.
Okay.
And you know, he wouldn't have to steal the elections if everybody was following him. It's
okay.
Just idiots following idiots.
All right.
Okay. And then lastly, I don't believe that this is the end, but if we continue on the path that we are following, then it will be the end. And that's all I have to say.
Taylor, I thank you very much. I guess you didn't hear any of that, Maury. But she says that the Bush people, they're saying that they're religious, they're not religious, that if we continue on this path, it will be the end, that maybe we can avert the end. And then she said a third thing that I'm sort of have forgotten. So do you have any comment that you want to make? Are you there? Hello, hello? I think we've lost him. Okay, let's see if we can get him back up. Okay. All right, I think we're going to have to, yeah. I guess I have dropped the call, but so let me go to, okay, wait a minute, let's do that. All right, there it is. Okay. George, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're going to try and get Maury back up again.
Hello, Enid. I heard him say that we had a trade deficit of $8 trillion. I think that was a mistake. I've heard $800 billion.
Okay, we will ask him that question, and I thank you for the call, George. 349-1320, Marty in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, hello. Yes, I got a question to Dr. Berman. He said this is over for democracy. I say, in the future, you think Americans will give up their citizenship to leave the country, like go to Canada, go to New Zealand, go to Australia? You think?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let's ask him. Do we have him up? Do we have him on the line here? Antonio, do we have him on the line? Yes, we do. Okay, very good. Maury, you're there? You back with us?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happens with all that. Somebody called to say that the trade deficit was not $8 trillion.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is? Okay, they called to correct you, and somebody else called to ask, what are we going to do when it collapses? Are we going to go to other countries?
Well, a lot of people are doing that already. I mean, in the wake of the Bush election of 2004, there was a lot of movement, I think, citizens to Canada and also, you know, other countries, Costa Rica and things like that. So I can't say it's, you know, we're not talking about hundreds of millions of people. It's not a mass movement and so on. But it's certainly a lot of people in the wake of that and in the wake of what we're doing in Iraq,
we don't feel
at home here anymore.
All right, we have only about a minute left. So if you're looking in the tea leaves, you're looking at this administration, even the Democrats, what do you see, and any advice that you can give us?
You know, the difference between the GOP and the Dems is the difference between empire and empire light.
Mm-hmm.
Some choice.
Yeah, not much of a choice.
The thing that I talked about in the Twilight book was what I call the new monastic option. If you want to compare us to the Roman Empire, there was a movement called monasticism about the 4th century in which people tried to preserve the best of the culture as it disintegrated. And that's what I would encourage all of our listeners to do.
To try to preserve the best of the culture.
Yeah.
To keep
it disintegrate, see if you can preserve.
report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation, and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As many as five American soldiers are suspected of participating in a terrible crime in Iraq. Allegedly, an Iraqi woman was raped on March 12th. Then the soldiers killed the woman, and three family members burned their bodies to destroy the evidence. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the charges came to light this month when two soldiers from the same unit were abducted and killed by Iraqi insurgents.
After the bodies of Menchaca and Tucker were recovered, other members of Bravo Company were offered post-traumatic stress counseling. During one of those sessions on June 23rd, a soldier said he had heard about the rape and murders back in March. Investigators quickly found other soldiers who had heard the same story, and the next day, Major General James Thurman, the overall commander for the Baghdad region, ordered a full-scale criminal investigation.
According to the Associated Press, one of the soldiers has confessed and is under arrest. Israeli forces are keeping the pressure on in their search for a captured soldier, but Palestinian militants have issued new demands. In addition to the release of Palestinian women and children from Israeli prisons, they want 1,000 other prisoners freed. The statement does not promise the release of Corporal Gilad Shalit in return. Despite the dissenting views of some engineers, NASA will try to resume the space shuttle program tomorrow afternoon, but CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports the weather at Cape Canaveral is not promising.
With storms expected, forecasters say there's only a 40% chance the shuttle will lift off tomorrow, and the outlook is no better through Monday. But weather is not NASA's only worry. Whenever it flies, Discovery will be the only shuttle ever launched with a system officially classified as an unacceptable risk. The danger comes from insulating foam on the shuttle's external fuel tank and the possibility that pieces may break off from brackets during launch, puncturing the shuttle's heat shield, which has to be intact for a safe reentry at the end of the mission.
Little did Elvis know when he recorded that song that he was making an impression on a young man who would become the Japanese Prime Minister. Junichiro Koizumi made a pilgrimage to Graceland today, accompanied by the President of the United States.
I'm Peter Mayer in Memphis.
Unusual.
That's how President Bush sums up this rock and roll summit. The folks at Graceland will long remember the surreal scene. The Prime Minister of Japan, an Elvis fanatic, serenading the President, the First Lady, and Priscilla and Lisa Marie Presley.
Wise men say...
At the end of the day, Koizumi called his visit to the Presley Mansion a dream come true. Peter Mayer, CBS News at Graceland in Memphis.
Chrysler has jumped on the sales incentive bandwagon, bringing back employee discount pricing. GM recently announced 6-year 0% financing. Today on Wall Street, the Dow dropped 40 points to finish the week at 11,150. The Nasdaq lost 2 points. This is CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. Sale in 7806.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat,
Join it. Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
A Toyota, an all-American car? By some measures, yes. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
4th of July weekend, time to celebrate everything American. Cars.com's new list of top 10 popular patriotic vehicles is headed by Ford F-Series trucks, the Chevy Silverado, and what's this? Toyota Camry?
We knew the Camry was popular, but we were surprised by how high up on the list it landed.
It's eligible for the list because it's U.S.-built with at least 75% American parts.
Toyota and Honda both have been building more plants in the U.S. GM and Ford are building plants in Canada and Mexico. The alliance of what's American-made is becoming muddier as we go along.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
This is what's meant by adding insult to injury. Authorities in southern Ohio say thieves feeding their drug habits have been stealing the bronze plaques from the graves of people who served in the military. In one case, a plaque was taken from the gravestone of Danny Yelly, killed in Vietnam. Underneath was an old inscription for a man who died in 1937. Yelly's family had been...
Are you paying too much for your...
Continues on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. If you're just joining us, you have missed. I think he was just splendid. And what he had to say was provocative, interesting, and really... He's interesting to listen to, even though the news is not good. But his name is Morris Berman, Dr. Morris Berman, cultural historian, has been teaching at Catholic University of America. His new book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire, and how it's really over for us. I think nobody wants to, he tenders the news in the wittiest of ways. And I said, I don't think anybody wants to know about this on a getaway weekend, a holiday weekend. He said, well, maybe as we're contemplating the 4th of July, this would be a good thing to contemplate instead of going shopping. And I think he's really right about it. And what he has to say about how dumb we've become, the statistics are just staggering. But he has some antidote that if it's going to be over for us, you could go the graceful way or you can go the awful way, the down and dirty way. And the graceful way to go as a society and as an empire is to promote what is best about this country. But, you know, you promote what is best about us as a people. And, it may even be too late for that, but you might have some thoughts about it. And I really apologize. We have a new studio, and we're still working out the kinks in the system, in the engineering system here. And so he was unable to hear some of your calls. It was an imperfect situation. But so I apologize. We will work on it. Let me give you the numbers, 349-1320 or toll-free 866-626-1320. You have some response to Morris Berman and what he had to say? I would really like to hear from you, and we can talk about some of the issues that he brought up, which are really pretty provocative. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, 1320leftchannel.com. is the way you can access us and find out who my upcoming guests are. Just click on my page. I'm going to be off on Monday and Tuesday, and you're going to be in good hands, and I'll be back with you on Wednesday. So anything that we need to clear up, let's do it today, and I'll just sort of leave it wide open. We'll have a free-flowing conversation. I just want to let you know that on Wednesday, when I do come back, we're going to be talking to Dan Gilbert, who is a professor at Harvard, and he's written a book called Stumbling on Happiness, and God knows, it's a thing we'd like to stumble on, a lot of us. On Thursday of next week, we're going to be joined by two top-notch best-selling authors, Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. They write together. One of them contributes regularly to the New York Times, the newest book, and these are thrillers that they write, but they are just brilliantly researched, and they keep you, I'm telling you, on the edge of your seat. The newest one's called The Book of the Dead. And next Friday, Elaine Petricelli, who is just great. She and her husband own one of the finest independent bookstores in the country, Book Passage in Corte Madera in Marin County. And we'll be talking about great summer reads. And as we go along, we have some wonderful guests, additional wonderful guests booked. And it looks like, keep your fingers crossed, we might have Bill Maher on July the 10th in the 3 o'clock hour. Meanwhile, on Monday, you want to be listening to Scott and Sims. Scott's going to be doing the show with Rob Fong, the vice mayor of Sacramento, and their guest in the 8 o'clock hour, Cindy Sheehan. Andy Sims has the day off. So that's what's coming up around here. Let me give you the numbers. You could affect the dialogue. Any questions that you have, anything that you want to say about Morris Berman, 349-1320. Or 866-620-61320. And one of the ongoing discussions we've had is how we counter the Republicans' cut and run. So that's something you might want to contribute to as well. Let's head over to Todd in El Dorado. Hi, Todd. You're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, Enid. Hello, Sacramento. And forgive me, I missed your guest. I'm calling from out of area, Enid, but I know you've been working on a linguistic effort all week to counteract the cut and run moniker.
Uh-huh.
And how about get back from Lyrac?
Oh, that's good. Get back from Iraq.
Lyrac.
Oh, Lyrac.
Yeah, get back from Lyrac. We were there on a false premise, so we just need to get back. Get back to where you once belong, right?
Right. Wait a minute. Where are you out of the area?
Where am I? I'm a little south of Fresno. I'm a roaming alarm guy. I live up in Placerville. We spoke before. I'm a friend of the station. My name's Todd Schwenk.
Okay, Todd. Well, gee, thanks very much for calling, and thanks for that. We'll put it on the list.
Okay, thanks for the dialogue, Enid.
Thanks for the what?
Bye-bye.
Bye. I didn't hear that last part. All right. We're having hearing problems, too. We have been talking about a lot of different things. We've been talking about the secrecy of this administration. You know how they're ganging up against the New York Times. Well, guess what? Melanie Morgan, who was a San Francisco talk host and now is a right-wing San Francisco talk host, has apparently taken a book out of the Ann Coulter playbook. And she goes on MSNBC. You see her every once in a while. And she's on KSFO in the Bay Area. And she says that any newspaper editor who published classified information, listen to this. This is right out of a weaponized Ann Coulter, if it works for Ann Coulter, propelling her book to number one on the bestseller list. And I guess it's going to work for Melanie Morgan. Any newspaper editor who publishes classified info should be murdered by family members of slain troops and sent to, quote, the hottest corner of hell. You want to comment on that? I know Melanie, and I knew her before she took on this persona. This is useful, and it's certainly a career booster for her. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. She says any newspaper editor who publishes classified information should be murdered by family members of slain troops and sent to the hottest corner of hell. See, they sit around and they write these things out so that they can say them on cable television shows, which are pretty much like the National Enquirer, except a video version of the National Enquirer. Let's see. And then what does she say? She said this about the editor of the New York Times. If he were to be tried and convicted of treason, yes, I would have no problem with him being sent to the gas chamber. She said about Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times, if he were to be tried and convicted of treason, yes, I would have no problem with him being sent to the gas chamber, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I guess this is what you call a career booster, huh, for Melanie? Has to be. I don't know. She's get, you know, it's weaponize your words. This is from the Ann Coulter School. Let's see. This is knowing that her answer was going to be on the record. Is it true that you would countenance an excruciatingly painful death for Bill Keller for printing that story, sending him to the gas chamber? Melanie Morgan was asked. And knowing that her answer was on the record, she says, yes, let me answer your question with a question. If by leaking classified info that resulted in the deaths of American soldiers, let's just say that a terrorist purchased all the ingredients necessary for an IED and detonated against a convoy of 18, 19, 20-something Marines, killing them, do you honestly think I would give a rat's rear end how the editor who leaked that information dies? Do you think I actually care if he or she goes slowly banging away on the prison bars or is extinguished immediately? The answer is no. I do not care. 349-1320. What do you think about that? Melanie finds a career booster. Hey, Melanie. Suzanne in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Suzanne.
Well, two things. One is it's funny that she wants to solve that problem with Melanie. By committing another felony of murder.
Melanie has quite a reputation of her own. Melanie countenancing a felony. Mm-hmm.
Yep, a nickname for Annie would be Annie Fanny because she's an ass.
Annie who? Wait a minute, which Annie? Oh, Annie Coulter. Oh, well, other people call her Man Coulter, but that's another story, I guess.
Yeah. My thought is, though, you know, something that is unclassified can be, you know, Bush has got people going back through the archives and classifying things that have been declassified.
Right.
And he's, so, you know, who's to say what's classified? I mean,
well, you're right. It's a musical chairs game. They leaked Valerie Plame's name because the Dick Cheney says, I have the authority to declassify if I feel like it. So then they had stuff that you're quite right was unclassified. So a lot of it was pretty innocuous. And now they're reclassifying everything. So it's just a shell game.
Well, I don't put it past them to reclassify it after it's been leaked as a way of penalizing someone. I don't put that past them.
Well, I can see that happening, except that if you have said something about something and it wasn't classified, that's a whole other bag of snakes. But all right, Suzanne, you bring up a really good point, and I thank you for doing it. The other thing I want to say about Melanie is Melanie's looking pretty refreshed these days. Oh, is that shorthand for work done? Melanie's also the wife of Jack Swanson, who is the operations manager for KGO in San Francisco, and Melanie used to be a news person in San Francisco, I think on KGO, as a matter of fact. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. But Melanie seems to have found her calling, and I think she's taking lessons from the Ann Coulter School of let's get as much print attention and publicity attention, there is no such thing as bad publicity, as possible. What do you think? Jim in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, there's such a thing as shouting fire in a crowded theater. She's advocating murder of another person. She's a public figure doing that. I think private figures like me, I'd advocate her being boiled in oil. You know, there ought to be this hue and cry for her and Ann Coulter to be eliminated. And then we'll see how big their mouths are.
Well,
turn about is fair play.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for this great humanitarian gesture. Thank you very much. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Well, here it is. See, this is what it's come to. This is how you sell a book. This is how you sell your career. This is how you make your career. Ann Coulter is selling her book by being as nasty as she possibly can. Melanie Morgan is saying any newspaper editor who publishes classified info should be murdered by family members of slain troops and sent to the hottest corner of hell. Now, what about any president who publishes classified info? Valerie Plame could have had her life and her network's life endangered by the revelation that she was an undercover CIA agent. But Melanie is not addressing that problem. Your thoughts, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And then she says about Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times, if he were to be tried and convicted of treason, yes, I would have no problem with him being sent to the gas chamber. See, this is why Democrats, this is why we can't come up with anything to counter cut and run. You really have to be venomous to sit around and think of this stuff. You have to be so focused on your career that you're sitting around writing pages and pages and pages till you cull it, till you edit it down, till you boil down the oil, till you boil down the venom, and you get really the hardcore stuff. That's what you've really got to do. And I think that in all the research that's been done, Democrats are, you know, they take a more nuanced view of things. I think they typically have a better heart. Conservatives see things in black and white. Shades of gray confuse them. And they realize that if you want to make it on cable TV, you have to say the snottiest, nastiest thing, and then you have an opportunity to advance your career. And people don't care at what price they advance their career. They don't care what how many bodies they leave in their wake. It's just about the kind of selfishness. You know, we're talking about greed, we're talking about selfishness, we're talking about cheating. You know, these top high level elite bikers who are part of a doping scandal now. It's about how fast can I propel myself, because you know what, we're going to collapse in 5 minutes, and I better get as far as I can as fast as I can. I think that's what it's become. It's become that way. You say that in business, and this business that we pay lip service to, honesty, the ideal, you know, we like that ideal, but I think the reality is so different. And if Morris Berman thinks it's so over for the U.S., I think it's kind of sad but true. It may be over for some of our cherished ideals. But here's his antidote. He says, you know what? To have a graceful goodbye, a longer and more graceful goodbye, we have to nurture what's best in the society and what's best in us. And I like that. I think that's at least a hopeful note to think about on this holiday weekend. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Westbound 50, slow traffic, 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80, we have slow traffic at Riverside. Currently 89 degrees in the Capital City. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320. It's All That Biz with Jim Jacoby on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Brought to you by Metro PCS. Here's Jim.
Well, good Friday afternoon, everybody. Well, it was kind of a quiet day on Wall Street after yesterday's skyrocketing fireworks. Kind of get back a little bit of it today. We flip-flopped on both sides of even, end up closing down 32 to 11,158 on the Dow. For the week, we did manage to gain about 170 points. NASDAQ down just 2 to 21.72. A couple of stocks in the news today. Apple Computer said it may have manipulated stock option grants to benefit executives, including CEO Steve Jobs, as the unfolding business scandal spread to some of the best-known American companies. Apple said it started an internal investigation in grants made between 1997 and 2001, including one awarded to Jobs. The disclosure brings the number of companies that have announced possible stock option irregularities to at least 60. Investigators are trying to determine whether companies inflated the value of stock option awards to senior executives by backdating or timing the grants to coincide with days when the stock price was low. On that news today, Apple fell $1.84 to $57.16. Some members of the Senate and House Intelligence Panel say involvement of U.S. telecommunication companies in the Bush administration's domestic spying program wasn't as widespread as reported by USA Today last month. The May 11th article said AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon Communications had agreed to provide the NSA with call records. AT&T hasn't confirmed or denied its involvement with the program. Bell South and Verizon have said they weren't contacted by the NSA to turn over records. On that news today, AT&T did climb 19 cents to $27.89. Bonds had a pretty doggone good day today, rising nearly a half a point. This sharply drops the yield on the 10-year bond to 5.14%. Oil, well, here we go again, up 41 cents to $73.93 a barrel. and gold broke through the $600 resistance level, up $27.10 to $616 the ounce. This is Jim Jacoby from A.G. Edwards for Sacramento's Left Channel, AM 1320.
All That Biz with Jim Jacoby is heard every weekday on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and is brought to you by Metro PCS. Permission to speak freely. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
5:24 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation at 349-1320. You might change somebody's mind. You might give us a thought that will save the universe. You might just amuse us. Or 866-626-1320. It's always toll-free when you call Enid Live and when you call AIM 1320. And remember what your homework assignment is. I forgot to tell you. Forgot to remind you that you've got to tell three people every day that we exist, that AIM 1320 exists, that Enid Live exists, that the Morning Retort exists, that all of us, we're here, and we're here to serve you. And I have some really interesting news to share with you. Before the break, we were talking about Melanie Morgan, a right-wing talk host, who used to be a reporter in the Bay Area. She lives in the Bay Area. Jack Swanson is her husband, and he is the operations director for KGO Radio in San Francisco, and I know them both, and have worked with him. And she, I think, taking a page out of the Ann Coulter school of let's be as provocative as possible, let's be as outrageous as we can, let's weaponize our words, has called for, you know, for somebody like Bill Keller from the New York Times to be in the gas chamber and so on. And, you know, it'll probably work for you. Look, because she's already, the story is already, and here I am talking about it, and here it is on one of the websites. And so, yeah, so it's doing the job that it's meant to do, which is to advance her career. That's what it's meant to do. Well, here's the other part of the news. If you were listening to Morris Berman when he was talking just in the last hour, Dark Ages of America, the final phase of empire, he thinks it's really over for us. And he says that when he goes on conservative talk radio shows, they give him the worst time. They don't want to hear how it really is over, because he says this: we don't have a state religion. The state religion is the U.S. of A. Patriotism is sort of our state religion. So if you criticize the country, then you're somehow unpatriotic, you're not a real American, and so on. So I thought he made some really good points. Well, here's the deal about a conservative. Well, this is what's being reported. An odd thing seems to have happened to mighty right-wing talking head media juggernaut. They're still talking, but fewer people seem to be listening, at least on the Internet. Wow, this is big news. Alexa.com, which is owned and operated by Amazon.com, tracks online usage for all websites, large and small. At Alexa.com, you can check a site's activity up to the minute or follow its trail back for many years. At U.S. Politics Today, we thought it might be interesting to see how the right-wing media machine was doing. Well, not very well, it turns out. During the past 3 months, for instance, RushLimbaugh.com traffic ranking has declined 18%. So let me give you that again. You know what? It has declined faster than Rush has without his Viagra. Oh, my God. Forget the Viagra, Rush. You won't be stopped at customs if you buy yourself a penis pump that judge was using in Oklahoma. During the last 3 months, RushLimbaugh.com traffic ranking has declined 18%. He still huffs and puffs away daily on radio, but advertisers might want to double-check the size of his audience. If the bottom has dropped out on him online, it likely has had a similar trend line with his radio show. Even Fox News, that gold standard of right-wing media, is down 13%. Ann Coulter is coining money by attacking widows and orphans, a new game for her since she's run out of Democrats living in bed to defame and verbally pillage. You would think, with all the attention the promotion of her new book has given her, would raise her visitor numbers at her website, AnnCoulter.com. Nope. Traffic there is down 10%. Well, then how did they explain if the traffic on her website is down 10%, but her book is topping the best-selling charts? I don't know how they account for that. The audience chart reversal seems to be common across the entire right-wing side of the Internet viewing board. BillO'Reilly.com has dropped 40%, almost half, 40% in the past 3 months. Townhall.com, that once popular center for right-wing news and commentary, has fallen by 24%. The Washington Times website is down by 27%. And Matt Drudge, once the hottest right-wing name in Internet sites, his website is down by 21%. However, now you're going to say, well, is it possible that Internet users are really just tired of politics in general? MoveOn.org is up 13% in the same period. President Bush's fall from grace has been well documented in poll after poll. The unpopularity of Congress may not be all that historic, but those 20-something level of support numbers cannot be comforting to those who manage things on Capitol Hill. So the right-wing websites are going down, down, down. Faster than Bob Dole without his Viagra. Faster than Rush Limbaugh without his Viagra. Because these guys, you know, are so snaky and so into selling snake oil that many of them are suffering from, yes, reptile dysfunction. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. What does this tell us? I'm really rather surprised about this because I would think that these are such hardcore right-wing nuts that the worse things get, the more they're going to band together and believe, you know, to the last dying breath, the last, you know, cold dead hands, the last drop of energy that they have, they're going to band together and continue to, enforce their belief systems. What do you make of this? So let me give you this again. The gold standard is Rush Limbaugh. RushLimbaugh.com, according to Alexa.com, which is operated by Amazon.com, tracks online usage for all websites, large and small, and they are saying that the web traffic for the past 3 months, so in the last quarter, the web traffic for RushLimbaugh.com has declined 18%. Fox News declined 13%. Ann Coulter down. Well, she's down. She's down as low as you. How low can you go, Ann? She's down 10%. Bill O'Reilly has dropped 40%. His website has dropped 40% in the past 3 months, the traffic. So I think this is very interesting. I don't know what it means. I wonder what you think it means. Do you have any thoughts about this? Perhaps we're going to try and be too optimistic about it. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Greg in Vacaville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, you were just talking about the right wing poll numbers dropping. Maybe there were some people listening to the radio when the president slipped in one of his speeches and said that the propaganda that they were using, which obviously is a military term for disinformation to sway the enemy, that he was using to sway the American public, maybe they picked up on that.
I don't know if they heard that, but I wonder, in the larger sense, what do you think it means, really?
Well, what it means is it's exactly what it is. He's on a war set, and this guy can't disseminate between the American public and the enemy. All the information that he's putting out to the American public is propaganda. He's using it to pump up his side, and in the military, that's what they do. They say what they have to do to sway people to their side and get them to lay down their arms.
So are you saying you think that people aren't buying it the way they once were?
They're not buying it anymore. They're understanding the lies, and they're seeing that all the people up there are just following his lockstep, what he wants, and that is misinformation to get his agenda across.
Greg, I thank you for the call. 349-1320 or 866-620-6120 is your caught in traffic. I mean, this ought to be a really nice perky send-off to a holiday weekend to know that Rush Limbaugh, without his Viagra, which he's going to have to inject into his website traffic situation, apparently the traffic to his website has declined by 18%, and they feel that this would that there would be some crossover effect in terms of the ratings for his radio show. I don't know if that's true. I think it would probably vary market by market, but Fox News is down 13%. Amazing. I thought I wouldn't live, you know, I thought this wouldn't happen. Ann Coulter, even though her book is selling well, is down 10%. Bill O'Reilly, who I used to beat regularly in Tire Beat in Denver, he's down 40% in the past 3 months. His web you know, I am so amazed that people can't see through people like Bill O'Reilly. I just think, you know, these people they figure out what other people want to hear, and they step on the gas. They go to town. They tell them what they want to hear. They don't even believe it themselves. And they make a lot of money doing it. And they're so hollow. There's no there. Don in Fairfield. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Don.
Hi, Enid. I'd like to weigh in on the flag burning issue.
Sure.
Make a comment. A U.S. flag made in China by slave labor and sold by Walmart is a poor representation of what our flag stands for, and hence it should be burned.
Say it again. A U.S. flag made in China by slave labor is a poor representation of what we stand for and should therefore be burned?
Absolutely.
Don, that's very good. I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
What do you think about what Don had to say? 3-4, as we approach the 4th of July, 3-4, or for you to the 395 of July, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left on this getaway weekend with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Eastbound 50 slow out of downtown to Folsom. Westbound 50 slow, 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, we have heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80 is slow at Riverside. Southbound 99 is slow, 12th to Mac. Currently 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
If you send mixed messages.
Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, bin Laden. He's, let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I...
If you send mixed messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send mixed messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send mixed messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion It stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion of the Catholic
and marry the UPS driver?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3. No haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On this fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about right-wing tacos, say it fast, tacos, trying to boost their careers by suggesting that the editors of the New York Times be sent to the gas chamber, that they be prosecuted, they be consigned to the hottest corner of hell, that they should be murdered by family members of slain troops, that they should, let's see, where else, I don't know, you know, just, they sit around and they write this stuff out so that they can be provocative on the cable news shows. And also, USA Today, we haven't gotten to this, but USA Today, which reported on the warrantless wiretaps and said that your providers, like Verizon, Bell South, and so on, we're working with the NSA and sharing your private information with them. I believe that AT&T or Verizon, one of the two, rewrote their commitments to you, to us, and so it's not our information anymore. It now belongs to them, and they can do what they want with it. Here's what USA Today is telling its readers. In a note to readers in USA Today, the national newspaper said it could not confirm the Bell South or Verizon Communications had entered into a contract with the NSA. USA Today had reported that the two companies were contracted to provide the agency with calling records of their customers. The report of the inability to confirm the contracts was reported today by the Associated Press. Well, you know, it may be, and this has also been reported, that the reason they haven't been able to verify Verizon and Bell South's role in giving up your incorporating and working with and having a contract with the NSA in sharing your records with the National Security Agency is that there are these third-party intermediary kinds of organizations that work as an interface between the providers like Verizon, like AT&T, and so on, Bell South, and the government. And so it may be that you can't specifically say that Bell South and Verizon are handing over the records. They may be handing them over to a third-party entity that deals with the NSA. So I just want to give you that as a caution. And in the Los Angeles Times, you know, since all these wannabe talk hosts are suggesting that the editors of the New York Times burn in hell, here you have the Supreme Court on Thursday, which dealt the Bush administration a stinging rebuke, declaring that military commissions for trying terrorist suspects violate both U.S. military law and the Geneva Conventions. But here's where there are some other implications, this is where the rubber meets the road. Under federal criminal law, the blockbuster in the ruling is that the court held that Article 3 of the Geneva Convention applies to the conflict with Al-Qaeda, a holding that makes high-ranking Bush administration officials potentially subject to prosecution under the Federal War Crimes Act. under federal criminal law, anybody who commits a war crime shall be fined or imprisoned for life or any term of years or both, and if death results to the victim, shall also be subject to the penalty of death. And a war crime is defined as any conduct which constitutes a violation of common Article 3 of the International Convention signed at Geneva. In other words, this particular decision they're calling the Hamden decision, U.S. officials found to be responsible for subjecting war on terror detainees to torture, cruel treatment, or other outrages upon personal dignity could face prison or even the death penalty. Don't expect that to happen anytime soon. However, the LA Times warns us as we are jumping for joy. Alberto Gonzalez, who famously called the Geneva Convention quaint, it's probably not going to happen, but a Yale law professor concludes it's starting to look as if the Geneva Convention is not so quaint. After all, you want to comment about that? These people could be subject to the death penalty, to life in prison. Oh, my goodness, 349, 1320, without their Viagra. Oh, think of it. Brian in Lockford, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Enid. Hi. I wanted to say something, which is quite important. I listen to PBS and you folks, of course. You're a wonderful station.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say, I'm calling from my cell phone, by the way, so I hope the connection's okay. This morning, PBS had a special on about Jerry Falwell, and he's opening a new church.
Uh-huh.
And I heard something which was really interesting and just fascinating by his mentality and the way he thinks. They asked him a question, why he states these various things, like God will they take retribution upon you and so forth. And he said something back in the 60s when he got started that his mentor told him if he says outrageous things, his words will get published and more people will read his books. And I found that fascinating. I said, here is a man who's supposed to be a minister, a Baptist minister. He's just saying things just to get publicity so he could sell more. And he asked him, and Jerry Falwell's comment, almost verbatim, Jerry Falwell said, well, how do you think we got the money to build this church? People read our books, and then people listen to us. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what does that mean? What will that man stoop to?
Well, what does that make him?
You know, I don't know.
It makes him a huckster. And he can rationalize it to himself by saying, well, I'm doing it to promote the word of the Lord. But, you know, give me a break. He's doing it to promote his books. He's doing it to promote his ego. And he can hide his ego under a mantle of religiosity. Well, it's really not me, but look at this great monument to the work of the Lord and our great flock and so on. That's what he's doing, but he's just a huckster. And worse, he's a religious pimp. That's what he is. He's just trying to hustle whatever he can hustle. So, you know, if he finds Barney, he made what the observation he made that you had to be gay practically to be a success in Hollywood. And then he thought, didn't he think Barney
exactly
was gay?
Sure.
And what about SquarePants SpongeBob or SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever that guy's name is?
Exactly, certainly.
He knows he's going to get, he knows the worst thing that can happen to these guys is that you ignore them.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, you know, I try to do that, but I'm a catechist at a Catholic church, and I work with little children, little 7-8-year-old children, and I have a strong sense of right and wrong and what's morally, ethically right for people, especially if they promote their religion and or what they think is a religion. But these people are downright hypocrites, what they are.
Well, they are, and if there's any truth at all to the fact that the web traffic for right wingers is declining faster than Rush Limbaugh without his Viagra, then maybe we're on a better track. Brian, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Well, this ruling is such. The ruling that rebuked the Bush administration is such that it holds that Article 3 of the Geneva Convention, you remember the Geneva Convention, it was probably held in Miami, applies to the conflict with Al-Qaeda. So it means that high-ranking Bush administration officials are potentially subject to prosecution under the Federal War Crimes Act. You know, I was listening to some description of Dick Cheney. Is he going to go in for a medical checkup or something this weekend because he's got aneurysms or he's got who knows what, lumps, odd things that are growing on the backs of his legs or his knees? I mean, this man is a walking medical disaster. This man, he's got banana peels attached to the bottoms of his shoes, and he is like the Energizer Bunny. He's indestructible. I can't believe it. He's had about a 5 million heart procedures. They won't even tell you what medications he's on. I'm sure his mind has been affected by his meds and by all those procedures. They say that if you've had those kinds of procedures, it can affect your thinking in case you are capable of thinking in the first place. And that is a big if in his case. But he is a guy who has got to be a medical miracle, much to our chagrin. 349-1320. But these guys are all, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but you never know. The universe can twist in odd ways. Under federal criminal law, anybody who commits a war crime, and the ruling, the Supreme Court upheld Article 3 of the Geneva Convention, which makes high-ranking Bush administration officials potentially subject to prosecution under the Federal War Crimes Act. Oh, my goodness. So anyone who commits a war crime shall be fined or imprisoned in life, or any term of years, or both, and if death results to the victim, shall also be subject to the penalty of death. And a war crime is defined as any conduct which constitutes a violation of common Article 3, which was just upheld in that Supreme Court decision, of the International Convention signed at Geneva, this according to the Los Angeles Times. In other words, that particular decision that came down this week, U.S. officials found responsible for subjecting war on terror detainees to torture, cruel treatment, or other outrages upon personal dignity could face prison or even the death penalty or no Viagra at all forever in their lives. What do you think? Oh, my God. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to... You know, why don't they have Viagra for the brain? That would be my question. You know, everybody's so busy pumping up their little appendages that the brain, you know, our friend, the brain, that's an organ that sort of goes unused, I think, by a lot of the right wing, frankly. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alfred.
Thanks, Enid. Eastbound 50, we have slow traffic out of downtown going into Folsom. Westbound 50 is slow at 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, we have heavy traffic from the WX portion of Capital City Freeway. Westbound Cap City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80, slow at Riverside. Southbound 99 is going to be slow 12th to Mac. Currently, it's 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severin versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Taurus Kebab, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
That somebody like Rush Limbaugh
who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail. Do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow. This guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
.53 on the fabulous Friday edition of Heated Live. I'm yours until 7 o'clock, so we got to wrap it all up. We have lots of loose ends, and we have a pair of Kris Kristofferson tickets that we're going to be giving away shortly. So stay with us. Let's go to the phones quickly. Mike on a car. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Well, hello, Enid. This is Mike in Orangevale.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I just wanted to weigh in on the flag issue. Mm-hmm. I agree with the caller about the flag is that one made in China sold by Walmart, and not what America's all about. But I wanted to expand on that a little bit. The people who seem to be most concerned about desecration of the flag are actually often disrespectful of the national colors themselves. Government protocol, at least in the military, requires that the flag, which is not a decoration but a declaration, be lowered at sunset. And if the flag is soiled, i.e. stuck on the back of a Harley-Davidson and gotten dirty or greasy, the proper way to retire the colors, guess how it's done?
They burn it?
Burning it.
Oh, really, Mike?
Yes.
Oh, so suddenly that would be against the law unless it were used for purposes of retiring a flag. They'll make that an exemption, I'm sure.
Well, but the people who seem to be most concerned about it aren't really showing proper respect to the national colors. They fly them on the back of Harley-Davidsons and the windows of their cars. It's not a decoration. Now, I'm a vet, and I don't fly the thing. Okay?
Well, that's because that's precisely it. I would bet you that the people who are the biggest, staunchest, most vocal, quote, patriots, the biggest flag flyers, let's call them what they are. Forget about patriots. They're usually they're poseurs. They're posturers. They're patriotic wannabes are probably the people who've had the least military experience. I think if you've been there, if you've done it, if you've been in combat, I think you are way more sober about going into these kinds of conflicts.
Well, I don't fly, but I will certainly never tell you not to.
Right.
I will never tell anybody, how to behave.
Well, but this crowd is they're farbissin. You know, this is a crowd that is mean, and they want to tell you what you can and cannot watch on television, and they're going to clamp down on you. And if you burn the flag, they're going to clamp down on you. And if by the way, you're gay and you want to get married, they're going to clamp down on you. That's the whole mentality.
Those are scary non-issues, and it's just distracting. It's just a method of distracting us from the real problem
today. Well, I think they're the terrorists, frankly. I think the war on terror is as much domestically underway as it is internationally underway.
Well, Mr. Bush is contributing to it considerably, but that's for another call.
It is, and Mike, I thank you very much. Thanks for making this for informing us on the way that flags are actually retired and what proper flag etiquette is. Thanks very much. I appreciate the information. See, don't we have really smart callers? We really do have really smart callers. All right, I'm going to. All right, I know that how smart you are, and so the fourth person who can tell me what right-wing media figure got busted with Viagra in his suitcase will win a pair of tickets to see Kris Kristofferson in concert Thursday, July 20th at the Crest Theater. Showtime is 8 o'clock. You've got to pick up the tickets right here at 5345 Madison Avenue. We can't mail them to you. We're here from 8:30 to 5:30 and on Thursdays until 7. You have to present a valid idea, and I say go to it. Boys and girls, pookies out there, you just go to it. The fourth person who can tell me...
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, the sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
The AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. One soldier is said to have confessed. Four others are under investigation in the grisly murders of four Iraqi civilians. CBS News correspondent David Martin says the military is looking into reports that a woman was raped, then she and three members of her family were killed and their bodies burned to cover up the crime.
The alleged rape and murders by soldiers in Bravo Company occurred on March 12th in a small town south of Baghdad in the area known as the Triangle of Death. 3 months later, on June 16th, in the nearby town of Yusufia, Privates Christian Menchaca and Thomas Tucker, members of the same Bravo Company, were kidnapped by insurgents and later killed in a way that left their bodies identifiable only through DNA samples.
As a result, other soldiers in the unit were offered post-traumatic stress counseling, and it was during counseling that the crime story came out. There's a bounty on the head of the man who's taken Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's place as the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has posted $5 million for information on the whereabouts of Abu Ayyub al-Masri. U.S. intelligence analysts believe it is Osama bin Laden's voice on a new videotape tribute to Zarqawi, and an Islamic militant website promises another message from bin Laden soon. Tomorrow's forecast calls for thunderstorms at Cape Canaveral, diminishing the chances that Space Shuttle Discovery will get off the launch pad, but the objections of some NASA engineers won't keep it on the ground. CBS News correspondent Peter King is covering.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says the media's overblown the controversy surrounding objections to the launch.
What you're seeing is a good process. Maybe you haven't seen it before.
NASA safety officer and lead engineer both lobbied for further redesign of the shuttle's fuel tank to eliminate yet more of the potentially dangerous foam.
We get all those opinions on the table. We get all the background that we have on the table. And then the senior managers have to make a decision. That's what we do.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The medical examiner in Orange County, Florida, says the 12-year-old boy who died yesterday on a ride at Disney World had a congenital heart defect. The autopsy found no evidence of physical injury. The rock and roller coaster at the MGM theme park resumed operation today. Disney says engineers determined there was nothing wrong with the ride. Boeing will pay a big fine to end a Justice Department investigation of its contracting practices. CBS News reporter Beverly Lumpkin has details.
Boeing will pay the federal government $615 million to settle civil and criminal charges involving improper use of competitors' information on Air Force and NASA contracts for launch services. In return, the government has agreed not to file criminal charges regarding the company's hiring of a former top Air Force procurement official, Darlene Druyan. Druyan has admitted that Boeing influenced her actions while she was still working at the Pentagon.
The Dow down 40 points today. This is CBS News.
July 4th is a wonderful day to relax.
Yeah, you get the drop cloth, I'll start taping.
Well, that's another way of looking at it.
It's the July 4th sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium Coatings, and an extra 25% on Easy Change Wallpaper. Hurry, sale ends Monday. Ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat, join it. Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
CBS News correspondent Harley Karn says, keep your eyes peeled.
A huge asteroid will buzz through the neighborhood this weekend, late Sunday night, Monday morning, depending on your location. No, we are not all going to die, at least not this weekend. The asteroid, which goes by the name 2004 XP14, will be about as far away as the moon when it whizzes past. Anyone with a half-good telescope should be able to watch it, a small moving dot in the sky. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
38-year-old Todd Hollis, a Pittsburgh lawyer, is suing the website DontDateHimGirl.com because of comments posted by former girlfriends that he's a cheat. The site is for women to warn others about relationships gone wrong, but Hollis says it has no safeguards to ensure that everything posted is the truth. The creator of the site says guys are allowed to post rebuttals and claims it's just the online equivalent of a coffee shop where people trade gossip. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Enid Live continues on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. So this is the pre-4th of July edition of Enid Live. And I am not going to be back with you until next Wednesday, so I'm just giving you a heads up. Anything that we need yet to discuss, it's open season on doing it. And as you know, all calls to Enid Live and to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, are toll-free. So if you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. We stream live. 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me, enid@kctc.com. I want to congratulate Ken from Stockton. He's the winner of that pair of tickets for the Kris Kristofferson performance. It's going to be at the Crest Theater. I believe it's July 20th, and we are going to have more of those to give away. So if you have just joined us, you have missed so many things. You missed the possibility of getting a couple of free tickets to see Kris Kristofferson. You have missed a fantastic hour with Morris Berman, who's a cultural historian, and he thinks that it's really over for the U.S. His book is called Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. And he was entertaining, actually. I know it sounds you don't want it on a holiday week. On Friday, we're running into the arms of the weekend, especially an extended one for a lot of people. You think maybe, I don't want to hear it, but it was great. He was great. He was funny, and he was provocative, and he had some fascinating statistics. And I am recommending his work to you, and especially if you listen to him. So if you have just ambled along to AM 1320, look how much you've missed. Let me tell you what we've got cooking for next week. First of all, the Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, which airs from 5:30 to 9 on Monday morning. Andy Sims is going to be off for the day, but Scott Forrington will be holding forth with guest host Rob Fong, who is the vice mayor of Sacramento, and they expect that they will have Cindy Sheehan on at 8 o'clock Monday morning, this Monday morning. And this has to do with the national fast to bring our troops home fast. So Cindy Sheehan when the Morning Retort, 8 o'clock Monday morning. And if all goes well, I will have Bill Maher on, I hope, July 10th, a week from next Monday, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if it all goes well. So that would be kind of fun. And we are going to be joined on Wednesday when I return by a Harvard prof named Dan Gilbert, who's written a book called Stumbling on Happiness. And the reason I was fascinated, you know, I like to think we're kind of a flea market of ideas around here on Enid Live, or I think of it as an idea lab. maybe I'm puffing up what we do here. But I like to look at people who I think are really worth our time and provocative. And I thought this was interesting because we are so fixated on finding happiness. And if you go directly for it, I think you get less of it than if I think happiness is actually the byproduct of doing something else, maybe something that has more substance. Maybe happiness is the kind of byproduct when you are contributing in some way. And you find that quiet sense of satisfaction, and it just sort of dawns on you like a Polaroid picture coming up, that you are feeling very content. And maybe feeling very content is a kind of lovely, quiet happiness. So he's going to be joining us, and he's written what has been called a witty and engaging book about how our minds work and the limitations of our imaginations and how that all might be getting in the way of our ability to know what happiness really is. So I'm interested to hear what he has to say. On Thursday, I'm very interested to talk to these two authors. I happened upon their work, I would say about a year ago, but they've been hot, hot, hot for quite a long time. They're best-selling authors, Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. And their new book is called The Book of the Dead. And the thing with best-selling authors is, you know, you read it and it's like a beach read and who needs it? They are very good. They are really good. One of them is a frequent contributor to The New Yorker. And not only is there substance there, but boy, they write terrific thrillers. So these two will be joining us on Thursday. On next Friday, Elaine Petrocelli, who, with her husband Bill, owns one of the best independent bookstores in America, Book Passage, in Corte Madera. So if you are in Marin County, take a look at Book Passage. And we also hope to have somebody from Tower Books as well on a subsequent show. She'll be talking about great summer reads. And we have lots more coming up beyond next week. So lots is happening here on Enid Live. I want to go to something I saw in the front page of one of the sections of the Bee not long ago. It was a picture of these guys being in uniform, and they're being dropped from, I guess, a helicopter, cable attached to a helicopter. They're training before the official start of the annual campaign against marijuana planting. The camp, and it's called, and the acronym is CAMP, Campaign Against Marijuana Planting. The CAMP campaign is coming off a record year in seizing camps, and CAMP agents expect to find a lot of pot in remote fields. I don't know what this costs to do, but I can't think of a bigger waste of money, honest to God. A 2004 field poll found that 39% of California voters believe that pot should be legalized and sold like alcohol or tobacco. 56% of California voters did not believe it should be legal. You're basically spending money to go after a product where a very substantial minority of Californians, and this was in 2004, I'll bet you it's even higher now, of people who think that it ought to be available in the way that booze is available. The guy who runs the poll said, you're basically spending money to go after a product where a very substantial minority of Californians believe that marijuana should be legally regulated like alcohol. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320 is a lot of people are heading out for the weekend and fireworks. A lot of people are deciding to to get high one way or another and or to, have a laid-back weekend one way or another. And so here are this whole law enforcement agents who are practicing dangling from cables. It's the time of year, the bee writes, when seeds nourished by spring rains have sprouted into lush plants covering California's fields and mountains. If those plants are marijuana, it's also the season when helicopters dangling law enforcement agents from cables appear in the sky. And I guess they have a way of finding it. You know, they're looking for it. They have spotters. I'm sure it's not an inexpensive effort to do all of this. And whenever they do a bust, they always tell you what the street value is. And it's usually astronomical. Oh, my God, we took off $4.5 billion worth of pot off the streets. Oh, my God, the next bust, we've just taken off $8 billion worth of pot off the streets. Oh, my God. So, what a waste. 349-1320. Meanwhile, in English, in health food shops in England, iced marijuana tea is going to debut. British health food shops will soon be offering customers iced cannabis tea, according to its Swiss distributor, sold under the label of Sea Ice Swiss Cannabis Iced Tea. The beverage contains 5% of hemp flower syrup and a tiny, tiny, tiny quantity of THC, and tiny is 0.0015%, the active ingredient of marijuana. Any ingredient that could put it into the drugs category in England has been removed, and the tea will not lead to dependency. But British anti-drug campaigners say that selling the tea is dangerous because it's going to give young people the impression that cannabis is commonplace. Do you think that young people think that cannabis is not commonplace? The product was launched in Switzerland in 2003, and it's already available in Austria, Germany, the Netherlands, and Portugal. But I don't think it's ever going to be available here, because we are so paranoid about this whole subject that even the use of hemp, and hemp is a very good thing. And we were talking to Assemblyman Leno about it. He's got legislation trying to get hemp legalized, because we use hemp for a lot of stuff in this state. And because you can't grow, you got to import it because of these stupid laws. It is so nuts. I don't know even where to start. We have got it so backward. We're so wrong. Meanwhile, we have a prison meltdown crisis. People who are, you know, who are in the pokey for a couple of joints really ought not to be there. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Let's go to the phones. Steve in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. Not only we disagree a lot, but I agree with you about the marijuana being a waste of time. And I'm kind of thinking it's a... you know, you have to follow the money, and I'm wondering if it's, you know, pretty much a money thing for the police to make extra money and stuff by, you know, arresting these people because...
because of the asset seizure laws, asset forfeiture laws?
Well, yeah, that's, yeah, that, and, you know, when you do have to go to a county jail or something, you got to, you know, pay back the money and stuff for being in jail, and...
What about increasing their budgets? Don't they get a budget? You know, aren't they qualifying for all kinds of monies, federal, state, whatever, if they do these kinds of things, do you think?
I would think that'd be a good idea. I just think they're wasting their time, you know, worrying about, you know, these big busts they make and it makes national news and everything. And, you know, to me, they could be using their resources better.
I agree with you. It's not violent crime. Forget about it. I thank you, Steve, for the call. And you know what? I think I saw my first electronic ankle monitor last night. I was at the gas station, and a guy was wearing shorts, and he was ahead of me paying, and he had a strap. If anybody who knows about this, I want to hear from you. It was a leather strap, and it had a square thing on it on his ankle. And it looked like it would be really easy to cut off that strap, too, as a matter of fact. I'm guessing, what could it be? The only thing I could think of is that it was an electronic monitoring device. What do you? Does anybody know about that stuff? 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Lori in Shingle Springs. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Lori.
I was driving along. I pulled over, and I was thinking about both the issue of Empire and the issue of the marijuana plantations and all the money and efforts that's being expended to round people up and all of that. I was very sorry to miss the segment about Empire because I had to work.
He was really wonderful. I don't know if we archive some of that stuff online or not, but I'll tell you what, it's worth looking at his book.
I will definitely do so. And I read another book that sounds a lot more somber by Chalmers Johnson, and it's called The Sorrows of Empire. And it just talks in great detail about the huge overreaching going, you know, having bases everywhere all over the earth and all of that. And then, you know, bringing it back home and having these, you know, great magnificent campaigns against marijuana growers and throwing more people in prison. And it seems kind of analogous to the people standing on the floor of the House and Senate holding forth about total nonsense.
Well, yeah, it's true.
Completely inconsequential.
But I want to say something that he did leave us on a hopeful note, Morris Berman. He really does think it's over for us as a country and as an empire. You know, the quintessential American century, which was really last century, and now we're in decline. But he said that you can go out badly. You know, you can crash and burn going out. I'm paraphrasing very badly. Or you can go out with a little more elegance. And if you go out with more elegance, the way you do that is you nurture and you develop what is best in us. And that is such a good RX. Whatever happens, at least you know you've tried to nurture what's best, not what's expedient, not weaponize anything you say in order to advance your career, not try to divide and conquer in order to advance the lies that you were telling. So to me, that was a hopeful note. Laurie, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. Brandon in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Brandon.
My buddy had one of those ankle bracelets because he was on home arrest. And what's funny is every time he'd play he had a PlayStation, you know, video game system. Every time he'd play that, it'd interfere with the thing, and then they'd call him or rush over and say, "Where'd you go? You left." And he's like, "No." And they're like, "Okay." So he'd go back in his room, start playing again. They call him back, like, "Hey, where are you going?" And he's like, "I'm not going anywhere." So he had to sit in his house for about 6 months with nothing, you know, no.
Why was he on house arrest, under house arrest?
Oh, he stabbed someone in the back.
Oh, just a little stabbing someone in the back episode?
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, I don't see what the big deal was. I mean, you know.
Oh, you know?
No, well, it was a guy who was picking on him at school, and he just finally snapped and, you know, chased him down and stuck a blade in his back. So.
Oh, well, that was charming. How smart was that, Brandon? Let me ask you a question. What did the ankle bracelet look like? The ankle monitor?
It looked exactly like you described. It's like a black strap with like a little black box attached to it. It's like a locator thing.
Yeah, that's what this guy had. It would be, and I don't know if you listened yesterday, but we opened with a really violent sex offender who had one of those and snuck out of it. Well, it's not real hard to get out of it.
No, it's not, but they should put bullets in the heads of all child rapists and sex offenders anyways.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that law enforcement moment. I appreciate the call, Brandon. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left. On this holiday getaway weekend with Doug Halperin.
Thanks, Enid. Eastbound 50 slow at Sunrise to Folsom, again at Placerville. Westbound 50 slow, 65th to downtown. Northbound 5, heavy traffic from the WX portion to Capital City Freeway. Westbound Capital City Freeway is slow at Cal Expo. Eastbound 80 slow at Riverside going all the way to Loomis. Southbound 99 slow, 12 to Mac. Currently it's 89 degrees in the Capital City. Tomorrow it'll be sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpert on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Want to make every penny?
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all. Sick on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete disorder is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about the war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Forming to the left, it's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
6:25 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. I have to tell you, as we go into the 4th of July, I think there are some fairs around, and there might be one in Marin County going on. And if you go to one, you'll see all that kettle corn, which I consider the crack cocaine of popcorn, a delivery system for sugar and salt. Oh, I cannot have it around because I cannot stop eating it. Somebody's making some popcorn around here, and it really smells good. It doesn't taste that good, but it smells really good. 349-1320 or 866-620-613, well, the microwave kind, 866-626-1320. We're talking about a lot of things, and we are tying up a lot of loose ends. So we're talking about cut and run. We're talking about marijuana laws. We're talking about ankle bracelets that monitor you. We are talking, I haven't talked about, and I'll get to it in a second. I want to talk about a shocking decision that came down in New York. Some lifelong cops were actually mafia-paid assassins, it turns out. And they just tried them. They're found guilty. But the, guess what? A statute of limitations. Amazing story. 349-1320. Victor in Meadow Vista. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Was that for Victor?
It is Victor. Hi, yeah. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to follow up on the caller a little while ago who was talking about the flag wavers being the ones who misuse it most. Even though by the strictest protocols, I myself am misusing it, but I have one on the back of my car that's upside down. And the significance of the flag being upside down is a distress signal.
Right.
And it's interesting as I watch my rearview mirror at stop signs, stop lights and stop signs, watching the reactions of people behind me. But I agree.
Wait, has anybody flipped you off over it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. Well, I have quite a few bumper stickers on my car besides that. I'm a member of Veterans for Peace in the Auburn chapter up here, and I have a lot of...
You're an ambulatory statement, it sounds like. Oh, well, this is a good thing, Victor. First Amendment, we like that a lot. I thank you very much for the call. Speaking of, we have talked about product placement. I have to share a story with you. Jaguar is giving away Jaguars. If you are a hip, social, fancy guy, they will give you a Jaguar to drive around because it's great publicity for them. So we all know about product placement in movies, where you see the actors heading for the Coke bottle, or you see the, you know, a product, this product or that product. But here is Jaguar. Actually, it's probably not a dumb thing to do. 349-1320, May in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi. I wanted to quickly say that what they're trying to pull for to tax pimps and prostitutes, I mean, is at the very least, isn't that complicity? I mean, you know, how in the world would they logically think that that could be legal on an illegal act? I mean, they are acting just like the mafia did, you know, in the 1920s and 30s.
You know, that is a really good question, man. I hadn't thought about that, but you're so right. If they're going to go after pimps, and you have got to, I'm assuming that it must be against the law to be a pimp, or you call yourself, oh, I know, you call yourself a business consultant. For feminine issue, for female issues or something, I don't know.
Exactly.
And then as long as they're paying the tax, I mean, I don't know. You're right. That's a good question, but I think that most of the pimps are in Washington myself.
I agree with you on that one. And then another thing, I mean, you know how they say if you forget history, it tends to repeat itself. And I think we are right where Hitler used to be. There was a lot of smart people that believed in him, too. And so, you know, we really have to be careful with Bush and his assassinations or associates or whatever you want to call them. And so I just wanted to say happy good weekend and good Friday.
Oh, thanks very much, May. I appreciate the call. Good
right,
point.
Bye.
349-1320 or 866-620-6-1320. What pre-holiday thoughts do you want to talk about on this fabulous Friday? It's really kind of a free-for-all conversation. Todd in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Enid, calling on behalf of Charlie Brown, running for Congress here against John Doolittle.
We know.
I know you know, and we appreciate all of your support. As you probably know, we got Independence Day upon us this weekend, and we're calling on everybody here in Northern California to declare our independence from this very, very corrupt and oftentimes incompetent Congress. And it's a great opportunity for everybody to stand up and support Charlie. And as you probably know, there's a campaign finance deadline tonight, and we wanted to encourage everybody to visit Charlie Brown's website, charliebrownforcongress.org, and do what you can to help get our man elected to Congress.
Okay, now, Todd, I want to say something.
Sure.
We support Charlie Brown, but what I don't like is turning this program into a billboard for any particular candidate.
Okay.
So I want you guys to really pay attention to that. And don't make it an issue where just because we're on the left here, we're suddenly a campaign billboard for people that we like him. But don't turn us against him on this one, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate the call. 349-1320 or 866-626. 13:20. I mean, how much of this can we listen to? We want him to win. This is a nice thing. Deep doo 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 little is a bad guy. But gee, gosh, gee whiz willikers, please. Because we get a lot of these Doolittle calls. Many of them we try to screen out because, you know, we're in favor of him, but still. Okay? Balance? Moderation? Lou in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Lou.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Wanted to comment on the ankle bracelet thing.
Yeah.
Yes, you did see one. Yes, they would be readily cut off, but you're very closely monitored. You're only allowed an hour or two a day outside of, like, 25 feet from the monitor that is in your residence.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Not a day. I'm sorry, a week.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. If you can you go into the shower with one of those on?
Yes.
Okay. How is it that an ankle bracelet is given to somebody who had a violent sexual assault background? And you can just cut that thing off. I mean, you can see that that's not real hard to get out of.
And that's true, and that's wrong. That's our system.
I mean, I don't know the particulars of his case, but I only know that he wiggled out of the thing, which takes not much doing. And by the time they caught up with him, he was long gone.
Yes. Yeah, and you're right, because monitoring only happens every X number of hours, depending on a lot of things.
Are you part of the monitoring operation?
No, I was monitored at one point, but...
You were? What happened? Why?
Just to not go into that, but a very unfortunate part of my life, and you get on the wrong side of the criminal justice system, and you don't get out of that position. At all.
Takes a long time to dig out of it. How long ago was it?
About 10 years now. Well, about 11 years now.
And how is your life now?
Everything's expunged and gone. It still comes up and bites me now and again.
Uh-huh.
Because while you can expunge the convictions, if anybody pulls up your arrest record, that stays.
It does stay?
Yes.
Now, I fill me in. When you expunge the convictions, where are you expunging them from? And how does that differ from an arrest record?
The conviction is, and you know, I don't know where you go to find this stuff, and an arrest record can only be pulled by specific people. The conviction record is more generally, you can pull that on an employment interview or, you know, one of those things.
Okay, so for purposes of employment, your potential employer doesn't necessarily know.
Doesn't necessarily, but if they have access to the arrest record, yes, they know.
They do know. Now, were you a felon at that point in your life?
I was a felon at that point.
Were you unable to vote at that point in your life?
The definition of a felony is a year and a day. I did 4.5 months.
Oh.
So I never lost my ability to vote, even though I was a convicted felon. It's just one of those weird anomalies.
And has it gotten in the way of employment?
I lost my career at that point.
You did?
Yes.
Were you able to salvage any of it?
No.
What, are you doing something very, very different from what you were doing before?
Yes.
And it's coming back for you a little bit at a time?
No, I'm moving on.
You are.
Have to be a survivor or you crash and burn.
True. Well, gosh, Lou, reflecting back on what put you in that position, is there anything, can you make any observations? In other words, is there anything to have been gotten from seeing what you did, how it didn't work for you, how it caused one promising career to get stalled? Is there any upside to what you see from that experience?
I don't think so. Whoever, generally, not always, but generally, whoever calls the police first is going to win.
Right.
You get their ear.
Right.
And the other guy's wrong, whether they're right or not. And it could be a 50-50 thing, any combination thereof. But generally, whoever calls first is going to be on the upside of the system.
Well, I'm thinking that when you go through something really difficult, and if you came out the short end of that stick, and it cost you a career and many other things, and you're still standing on your feet, you developed a really strong set of muscles as a result of it.
Nietzsche. Yeah. So, it doesn't kill you, you survive.
That's right. So you probably forged a lot of things that you don't realize that you forged, character and muscles and other things. So congratulations to you, and I thank you for calling, Lou.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866 626 1320. George in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid, I wanted to thank you for having that, your whole crew and you, and the good job you did with a guest earlier. That's an important subject, the demise and all the problems, you know, that lead to that demise. It's an important subject we never talk about. That's very good.
Thank you.
And on the light side, to take us off on the weekend, the guy in the car earlier that had the wreck, you know, I'm calling my congressman and I'm going to try to get him to pass a law that says you can't masturbate in your car without a hands-free device. we should treat, you know, I can't believe the guy wasn't on his cell phone up to a 900 number.
Well, he was. It was better. Wait, he was drinking. I think I forgot the part where he was drunk.
No, I got that.
Did I say that part? Okay,
yeah,
he was drunk. He's watching porn on a DVD on his dash. He's masturbating. But how they knew he was masturbating, I don't know how they found that part out. And he drives into I don't know what. And isn't that an amazing story?
Yeah. Maybe he had some comment like, don't turn my TV off yet. I'm not finished. You know.
I haven't come to the best part.
But anyway, we need a law though. You can't do that without a hands-free device.
Yeah. Oh, period. That's a good one. A hands-free device that'll keep you from coming and going. Thank you, George. I appreciate the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together on this holiday pre-July 4th getaway firecracker from the left with Doug Alperin.
Thanks, Enid. Not much traffic to report right now. Eastbound 80 slow at Riverside. Currently 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alper on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Federal agents! We are armed!
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
6:42 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours for, about 15 more minutes until 7 o'clock. A little bit more than 15 minutes. And so anything that we need to wrap up with each other, we got to do it because it's, what are you doing on this holiday weekend? I don't have any great plans. Well, your goddess has got to get organized. That's the story. Don't tell anyone I said that, though. Well, I do. That's part of the... So I won't be back with you until Wednesday. The idea is that I'll be more organized and not living sort of like the graduate student I've been living like. And I'll come back a new woman, refreshed. All right, lunch with Warren Buffett sold for $620,000. $620,100. And the money will go to benefit the Glide Foundation in San Francisco. And they do this, I guess, on eBay. He does it to raise money for charity. A lunch date with Warren Buffett. Last year, somebody bought lunch with him for $350,000. And this year, there were five individuals who placed 29 bids in the auction, and they don't say who the person was who won, but proceeds from the auction go to the Glide Foundation. The winning bidder will be able to take seven friends to lunch with Buffett, who is the chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, at a Smith & Wolensky restaurant in New York. So the money goes to Glide Church. I think that would be a great lunch. I just think, I like, whatever I see about Warren Buffett, I like him a lot. I don't know if you know this about him. First of all, in Omaha, he lives in the same house that he spent $31,000 for 1,000 years ago. Secondly, his wife, Susie, lived in San Francisco. They never were divorced, and when she died, they were together visiting friends in Wyoming, but I understand from his biographer that he lives with some other woman and has for quite a long time in Omaha, and that when he'd be invited to a wedding, they'd send a gift from the three of them. So whatever was going on, it seemed to work out just fine, and that's all we know, but I think Warren Buffett is just an amazing genius. The figure I like to quote is, if you had invested $5,000 with him in the middle 60s, the figure I've seen is that it would now be worth $23 million. Yikes. Jennifer Lopez paid her first husband $125,000 not to reveal details about her, but he's going to do it anyway unless a judge stops him. He has demanded that that first husband, the starter husband, has demanded $5 million to stop shopping a book. Jennifer's lawyer has claimed, Lopez's lawyer has claimed, J-Lo's lawyer claimed that the first husband has demanded $5 million. So he's blackmailing her to stop shopping a book that accuses J-Lo of having multiple sexual affairs. Oh, like, we're really surprised about that. The court papers obtained also allege that the first husband tried to sell tabloids a revealing home video made during their honeymoon. You know, this is a guy who apparently doesn't have much of a job, and he's looking to cash in on this first starter marriage where she went on and surpassed him. Doesn't say too. He's Mr. Kiss and Tell. Oh. All right, here it is, the Borowitz Report. Man opposes, Bush opposes marriage between a man and a flag. Constitutional amendment could become a hot button issue for November. What many political observers believe could become an effective wedge issue in the 2006 midterm elections, President George W. Dickey Bush today proposed a constitutional amendment banning marriage between a man and a flag. In a nationally televised address from the Oval Office, the president said that the proposed amendment was intended to protect two embattled American institutions, traditional marriage and the American flag. We must define marriage as a union between a man and a woman and not between a man and his flag, Mr. Bush said. Additionally, just as we seek to protect flags from being burned, we must protect them from being married. The president's proposals seemed intended to cause trouble among congressional Democrats, many of whom have no stated opinion on the issue of man-flag unions. But 2004 Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry was quick out of the box in response to the president's speech, telling reporters, "Before the end of the day, I'd intend to have at least three or four different positions on this issue." On the other side of the aisle, Mr. Bush's proposed amendment received immediate support from Senator Rick Santorum, who suggested expanding its scope to ban marriage between a man and any inanimate object. "We should not only forbid marriage between a man and a flag, we should also forbid it between a man and an inflatable love doll," he said, adding quickly, "Not that I know anything about that sort of thing." The Borowitz Report. 349-1320. Lunch with Warren Buffett. He is a Buffett. A Buffett. A buffet. Bonnie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Bonnie.
Just wanted to echo my praise of him, too. I just think he's just an outstanding person in every way, shape, and form. He's such a generous man, and he's not frugal, but he is not a... just a spendthrift, you know. I just love him.
I think the cleaning woman comes once every 2 weeks, something like that. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I just love him to pieces. And listen, have a good few days off and get yourself organized.
Yeah, in this, I don't know if it's going to happen in this life, Bonnie.
We expect a full report.
Yeah, you're going to be bored out of your mind. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Taylor in Sacramento, are you live with Enid?
Hi, new to your show. I have a question for you.
Are you new? Are you a new listener?
Yeah, I am. My friend, I work for the state. My friend's telling everybody about you guys. She just loves you. And
so is that how you found out about us? You weren't surfing. A friend told you. Oh,
no,
good.
No, she's telling everybody.
Oh, it's, good.
Yes. So anyway, the reason I was calling, I have a question for you. It's regarding the $1 trillion or $2 trillion national debt that we're going to have. And that obviously this money is coming from other entities. I'm wondering if Bush isn't trying to sell America. And, I mean, how are we going to repay that? I mean, are they going to, like, own California and New York or start having white slavery where we have to go and pay his bills or what? It's just mind-boggling.
I think you're almost onto something. I mean, they took a historic surplus and they turned it into, my mom always had a good word, which I cannot say on the air. It's popularly referred to as a barnyard epithet starting with an S. And she said, "Here, she would say, watch me turn this $50 bill into hum. So that's what he has done to this country. He has taken our historic surplus and look what he's turned it into: historic deficits. They're just trashing the country and they're strip mining it. So maybe they're going to have to sell. Look at what Indiana's doing. It's privatizing its toll roads. You know, you go to various state or city entities, and they what did Mile High Stadium become? What was Pac Bell Park for a while? It's whoever's the highest bidder. So you know, you could be onto something, Taylor. I hope it doesn't come to that, but it could. I thank you for the call. 349-1320 and 866-626-1320. Okay, the U.S. is moving to get states to put more welfare recipients in worker and training. The Bush administration announced regulations that would put new pressure on states to move more welfare recipients toward self-sufficiency, in part by substantially tightening the definition of what qualifies as work and job training under federal law. They want to reduce the welfare rolls, but what strikes me about this is that in Bushland, you only get welfare if you're really rich. If you're really rich in bushland, what happens is they cut your taxes. If you're really rich in bushland, you get a free pass for everything. You get these no-bid contracts. You know, and you don't actually have to perform either. If you're really rich in bushland, you get every kind of welfare. But if you're really poor, you really don't. And let me give you some statistics. Since 2000, the number of Americans living below the poverty line at any one time has steadily risen. Now, 13% of all Americans, that's 37 million of us, are considered officially poor. Bush has proposed cutting housing programs for low-income people with disabilities by 50%. Let me give you that again. He wants to cut housing programs for low-income people. Not only are they low-income, but they have disabilities. He wants to cut that by 50%. That's so he can help the richest of the rich. Among the working poor, 13% of income is spent on commuting if public transportation is used, 21% if a private vehicle is used, and workers who earn $45,000 spend 2% of their income on commuting. So this is this administration. It will give you welfare if you don't need it. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Doug Alfrin.
Thanks, Enid. Eastbound 80, slow at Riverside. Currently 89 degrees in the capital city. Tomorrow, sunny and hot with highs in the mid-90s. I'm Doug Alpern on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Exposing the right as wrong. It's Enid Live at 349-1320 on Sacramento's left channel.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
Maybe this isn't what we should be working on right now, and I think maybe we do need a change. Anything has got to be better than this. Whoever's going to be an adult, whichever party is going to be responsible with important issues, things that actually matter, well, I'm going to have to vote for them, even if it's a one-time deal.
So did you answer the question I asked you?
I forgot the question. I know. I should go to Congress.
Where?
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Are you
messages.
Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's, let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I...
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
Let me finish.
And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Dialing for Democracy.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Laugh Channel.
6:56 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. This is just in from the Los Angeles Times, and this is a breaking story. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's office, in charge of protecting California against terrorism, has been tracking demonstrations staged by political and anti-war groups, a practice that senior law enforcement officials say is an abuse of civil liberties. Daily reports prepared for the state Office of Homeland Security in recent months contained details on the whereabouts and purpose of a number of political demonstrations throughout California. The source of the information is listed in some cases federal law enforcement agencies, including Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, an investigative arm of the U.S. Homeland Security Department. So here are some of the rallies that are listed, and senior law enforcement officials say that they believe this is an abuse of civil liberties. Here are some of the political activities cited in the reports. An animal rights rally outside the Canadian Consulate office in San Francisco to protest the hunting of seals. A demonstration in Walnut Creek at which U.S. Congressman George Miller, Democrat from Martinez, and other officials spoke against the war in Iraq. A Women's International League for Peace and Freedom gathering at a courthouse in Santa Barbara in support of anti-war protesters, a 56-year-old Salinas woman facing federal trespassing charges. Bill Lockyer's office, Attorney General, condemned the actions, saying that